welcome to the American Journal. We're excited that you're joining us on this beautiful Thursday morning. A lot to dive into. The government, I guess, isn't shut down anymore, folks. So all those federal employees who have been hitting the snooze button, well, time to get back to work because we're paying you. We were paying them anyway, but folks, there were some of them that were making up any excuse not to get into work. And I know this because I was at TSA and they were not pleasant in Austin. But again, folks, the government has reopened. President Trump has officially signed off on just that. The House voting to reopen the government yesterday. Only two Republicans voting to continue the shutdown, of course. You could probably guess who one of those individuals is. I'll give you a hint. His name is Congressman Thomas Massie. Not really a hint, but Congressman Thomas Massie is someone who keeps finding himself on the opposition of President Donald Trump. And he's going to make a career out of this, I think. I truly do. We'll dive into Massie as well because there's a lot going on in regards to the Jeffrey Epstein stuff that dropped while we were on air yesterday. And a lot of Democrats are trying their very best to accuse President Trump of being a pedophile. I mean, that's exactly what they're doing. They're trying to insinuate that, although it has been proven repeatedly false by those who were directly involved. Guess what? They don't care. I mean, they're still redacting the name of a well-known, well-outspoken victim of Jeffrey Epstein's. And for some reason, they're trying to insinuate that President Trump somehow was connected and was spending time with victims. These people hit new lows every single time, and they're the only ones that believe in their own stupidity. Talk about that in a little bit today. We'll also talk about a lot of important things. Did you know that today is actually the final day that pennies will be produced, ending a 232-year tradition? So that's my fun little fact for right now. I also was digging into other fun little facts. Did you know that in India right now, 21% of tuberculosis cases have declined? Probably because we've sent them here. Remember when we were bringing in illegal aliens under the Biden regime and they started seeing these TB cases popping up all across the country? And they were like, well, how is this happening? And I was probably one of the very few telling you it was happening because Joe Biden was allowing people with TB into our country. Even the Department of Health had to literally put out the information themselves, admitting just that they were sending to, I believe it was over 32 states, kids with TB. And it's actually quite frequent in India. And so if you looked at the areas that it was widely affecting during those 4 years, of course, it was those who were coming from India. So a little fun fact there. It's pretty insane that that our government allowed this into our country and, of course, did its very best to pretend like they didn't know what was causing all of these TB cases to be popping up all over the states. The absurdity is never ending, folks. The absurdity is never ending. Speaking of that, too, there's a lot that we could talk about in regards to those who have committed food stamp fraud. We're learning more and more about those who are being exposed for doing just that. Not all states are looking to hand over their records to the federal government. They're actually being sued right now just because they're refusing to do it. But you're never going to believe what Brooke Rollins has just recently found. And it's quite the impressive amount of information over at the Department of Agriculture. She's finding so much fraud in regards to the food stamp program. And folks, it's pretty much everything you thought of, everything you probably knew was going on. But there's people who are even double dipping in the benefits. So we're going to walk you through that in a little bit as well. A lot to go into for today's show. I have Matt Marsden joining the program today to break down some of the it might be an unpopular take that he has in regards to H-1B visas. I'm going to let him explain. I also have Sean Atwood as well joining the program to break down the latest regarding the so-called Epstein scandal that Democrats continue to push. So we're going to break down all of that for you in just a few moments. Do not go anywhere. In the meantime, though, head on over right now to the AlexJonesStore.com because we still have that BOGO sale going on right now for a limited time. It is BOGO on methylene blue, as well as a free hat will be sent your way whenever you purchase a supplement over at the AlexJonesStore.com. So head on over to the shop and make sure you stock up right now. I don't know how much longer that sale is going to be lasting. It could be any hour now it ends. So if you haven't done so already, head on over to the AlexJonesStore.com today.
I'm cutting this critical announcement on the morning of Tuesday, November 11th. 2025, Veterans Day. You have 48 hours flash sale to get one bottle of ultramethylene blue capsules or liquid tincture and get the second one free and get a free custom Patriot ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com. We've never done a sale this big. It's a flash sale, so take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason we're always going to be on the air. Because the globalists are close to shutting down InfoWars, the building, and the website, but not we the people of the InfoWar. We have the Alex Jones Network that Bigley owns. They're the owner of thealexjonesstore.com, and that's why it's so critical you go there and support the broadcast and get great products at the same time. Victory is all about being aware, standing up, and taking action. And you can't take action in a better way, fighting for you and your family's future and our collective liberties, than supporting the operation at thealexjonesstore.com. And thank you for keeping me and my crew in the fight!
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning and welcome to The American Journal. We're excited that you're all jumping on with us today. A lot to discuss, a lot to expose when it comes to immigration fraud, food stamp fraud, H-1B visa fraud. I mean, there's just so much to dig into in today's show. We're excited that you're joining us. I'll be joined today by Matt Marsden later in the program because he's got an unpopular take probably about H-1B visas. Not that it's so much unpopular, but it's probably something that you didn't even think of yourselves. And he wants to join me today to explain what he's talking about right now. I'll also be joined by Sean Atwood, expert on the very latest regarding Jeffrey Epstein, all the information that's coming out, the emails coming out, the selective emails, of course, that are coming out right now because, you know, the left is trying to pin President Donald Trump as a pedophile. There's no other way to kind of phrase that. They are trying their very best to mislead the American people and say that there was a closer association with Epstein as well as the victims of Epstein. And even though the victims of Epstein have come out and said, no, we never had anything to do with Donald Trump. When we did see him, he was very respectful. He was very nice. But again, this is not something that Democrats want you knowing. In fact, they redacted a name, of course. We'll go into detail about that from one of those emails. And well, they did it because that victim was someone who actually went on the record and said that Donald Trump never did anything to her, but they used that email to manipulate the American people. And folks, it's absolutely insane, but it's going on. It's going on. We also are going to discuss a couple of other things as well. I wanted to dive into, this is a big one, obviously how the government shutdown has completely ended after 43 days. That is the longest federal government shutdown. Now, when you look at the numbers in the House, six Democrats deflected and went and joined Republicans in this vote to reopen the government. Obviously, Congressman Thomas Massie voting not to reopen the government. But President Trump, he's really been fired up about the issue because they've been using this, Democrats have been using this as a way to fire up their base, to get them out on election day to vote. But most importantly, they're using Americans to try to move in their new voter base, which are illegal aliens. They're fighting for them and only them exclusively. So President Trump yesterday in the Oval Office before signing the CR decided to call them out one more time. Take a listen.
For the past 43 days, Democrats in Congress shut down the government of the United States in an attempt to extort American taxpayers for hundreds of billions of dollars for illegal aliens and people that came into our country illegally from gangs, from prisons, from mental institutions. They wanted to pay them $1.5 trillion, which would have really hurt our health care businesses and our recipients at levels never seen before. Today, we're sending a clear message that we will never give in to extortion, because that's what it was. They tried to extort. The Democrats tried to extort our country.
And it's not just President Trump saying that. It's also Speaker Mike Johnson. He believes that those on the left were trying their very best to squeeze them for whatever they could. And they try to do these little backdoor meetings. And every time Speaker Johnson talks about it, it always gives me kind of the creeps. But he's talking about how Chuck Schumer continues to try to push to get them all to go into a back room and kind of scope out a deal between four of the leaders. But again, Speaker Johnson saying he's not having it. Take a listen to clip two and exactly what Speaker Johnson's accusing Schumer of.
Was Chuck Schumer came out and said the quiet part out loud. I don't even think he realized, he has no self-awareness, but he came and cried to all of you that I would not agree to go into a back room and make a four corners agreement on these issues. That just he and I and Hakeem Jeffries and Leader Thune would go in a room and make this decision for the entire population of America and block out all of our colleagues as if they had no voice in it. That is why Washington is broken. That's why Congress hasn't worked well for people. That's why they don't have a lot of faith in what goes on here. And I'm committed to trying to restore that faith. And one way we do that is we get back to regular order. We allow all the duly elected members of this body to have their voices heard. I'm not playing games. And Chuck Schumer, I'm not going in a back room with you and making a Four Corners deal on anything. And I hope you understand that.
It's kind of creepy when he says it like that, that he's not going to a back room with Chuck Schumer. Gives me the creeps. It's not just that, though, folks. The real thing that had most Americans fired up was the level of stupidity that came from potentially the group of senators who say that were victims of Arctic frost. They decided to kind of sneak in a little provision. That provision allowed them to potentially sue for $500,000 the federal government for tapping their phones. Obviously, we were calling it out. It was wrong from day one. But the reality of it is this, folks. Why the heck do senators, a specific small group of senators, think that it's okay for them, just them, to be able to sue the government for $500,000 and get your money because their phones were tapped? What about the other victims? We keep calling it out. I keep calling it out. When I sat there and watched Lindsey Graham cry on Fox News about how his phone was tapped, I didn't give a damn. Because why? Because so many people were targeted by the federal government. He is not a part of a protective class of citizens who shouldn't have their phones tapped. All Americans shouldn't have their phone tapped by the regime. And for him to sit here and pretend like he was exclusively discriminated against and targeted against, I have no empathy. Zero. Zero. Now, obviously, Senator Tommy Tuberville is really the only one who on this list that I have a vast amount of respect for. He's come on this show. He's detailed exactly what happened during Arctic frost. And I have not heard him even ask for a hand. I've even reached out to his office to make sure, just to make sure and tell you guys what's going on, but to see if he was actually one of the individuals who wanted that $500,000. We need to know answers. We need to know answers. It is completely disgraceful that those nine senators, potentially all nine of them, we don't know exactly who put this provision in, but they were advocating for themselves instead of the rest of the country. You know, J6ers are sitting here and trying to scrape together whatever they can to get attorneys to represent them in court so that they could try to recuperate financially from what happened to them. Are they going to get $500,000? Well, I didn't see that in the provision. I didn't see that. It goes to show you, though, that these politicians only look out for themselves and they don't care for anything else. But yesterday was a great day because President Trump did end up signing that CR, and I'm told that the $500,000 payout for the senators that they were looking to get was actually taken out by the House. So we'll see. We finally get it. We could read through it and make sure of that. But President Trump, obviously, it was a busy day for him yesterday when Democrats tried to release Epstein emails. So when he was shooing them all out of the press, well, I guess I would say the Oval Office after signing, take a listen to clip three and how the media acted.
Thank you very much, everybody. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
And isn't that something? So obviously, folks, they are trying their very best to go after President Trump. We'll talk about it later in the show. Can't even take a second to celebrate what he just finally was able to accomplish, ending the longest federal government shutdown, which lasted 43 days. No. We're going to ask you about Epstein for like the thousandth time. Now, again, I am somebody who is strongly advocating for the release of everything regarding Jeffrey Epstein, but I don't select my level of outrage. And I'll talk about that later in the show. First, before we get to there, the real good thing about the government shutdown is it helped us realize that there were millions and millions of people on our SNAP benefit programs. As many of you guys know, 42 million people apparently are getting SNAP benefits, and it's quite the strange number. I don't understand how 42 million people, they say that they're supposed to be citizens, but yet certain states in this country, Democrat states, blue states, won't actually hand over their data as to who they're giving these benefits out to. So now the federal government obviously has to sue to get that information, but it's really fascinating when you listen to the amount of fraud that they've caught thus far for those states that actually have turned over their numbers. Take a listen to Brooke Rollins, because she's actually detailing the SNAP fraud they've recently exposed. Take a listen to clip four.
And 20 plus others did not, and we're suing, we're in a litigation right now. But of the 29 that complied, what we have found is staggering. 500,000 people getting benefits two times under the same name. 5,000 dead people. 80% of the able-bodied Americans, meaning they can work. They don't have small children at home. They're not taking care of an elderly parent. They can work and they choose not to work, of course, because they're getting significant benefits from the taxpayer. So this light, Laura, that has now been shined on what is perhaps one of the most corrupt, dysfunctional programs in American history, that we are working now. Very big announcements coming next week on this. We are cracking down. We now have a plan to fix it. And we're really, really excited about doing that for the American people.
So this has been going on for many years. I mean, I think I covered this on the radio.
So, folks, as you can see, it's a ton and ton of fraud. And it's really enraging, folks, because listen here. This shouldn't be happening. Do you hear her say 80% are those who are physically able to go out and work have just decided not to? I mean, when we sit here and we talk about cracking down on these numbers, those people need to be kicked off these programs. You either work, contribute, or you don't eat. I mean, listen, there's no reason why those who don't have kids, who are fully capable of going out and working and are of age, like, we're not talking about retirement. We're not talking about somebody who lost their spouse while they were going into their retirement years. We were talking about people who are fully capable of being able to work and they decided not to. They don't want to lose those benefits. We need to do something about this. It is so insane that this is what's going on right now in this country as we continue to expose all of the corruption. There's so much actually we're going to be exposing today in regards to all of this. But, you know, and we're going to talk about Jeffrey Epstein in a little bit. We're going to first, though, address the immigration issue because there's been a lot in regards to this over the last few hours. Obviously, it's been very controversial, but for most right now, we need to have these conversations. You know, yesterday we played a clip from Kristi Noem. Kristi Noem ultimately said in the clip that we played from you guys yesterday that she, for one, doesn't understand, well, that they sped up the immigration process, the naturalization process, and the H-1B visa process. And it was quite bizarre to hear her say just that because I didn't understand exactly why she was advocating for this. But folks, it was insane to hear. So I reached out to DHS like I told you I was going to do yesterday on this show. And I reached out. I want to show you guys this email that I received. I asked DHS specifically for the numbers. And for some strange reason, after asking them specifically for the breakdown of how many naturalized citizens have we brought into this country since the president has taken the White House, I received this response. The era of mass illegal migration, open borders, and visa abuse is over. The American people finally have a government that enforces the law, not one that apologizes for it. So I asked for numbers, and I received that. Now, listen, DHS has been great to me when it comes to requesting comments, and I have to be fair here. So I did, before putting out that statement, I did actually reach back out and said, hey, maybe you misread my request, but I still haven't heard back. It's unfortunate, folks. I ask for numbers. I simply want to know what Kristi Noem was referring to in that interview that she did yesterday on Fox. Why are we speeding up the immigration process in this country? No one's asking for that. Literally no one. Literally no one. Unless, of course, you are a greedy corporation looking to possibly cheat the American people out of the H-1B visa process. And so maybe you would be with someone looking to speed that up a bit. But when it comes to naturalizing citizens in this country, folks, we don't want more. We haven't even purged out the ones that came in illegally. And so there's a level of outrage right now amongst the American people, and we didn't vote for any of this. And I think when we listen to these clips that are played, I constantly am like, okay, let me understand the context here. Let me try to reach out for their shake on what was said here. And you try to be as fair as you can, but folks, what the heck is going on? Nobody voted for more legal or illegal immigrants. We can't even handle what we have currently in this country. Americans are in trouble. Americans are unable to feed their families. Americans are unable to get clean water in their homes. So to sit here and think that, yeah, we need more people brought in, no, we don't. And it's so infuriating, but we need to keep cleaning this stuff up because it is frustrating to sit back and watch this administration do what they're doing. I also want to go over this. This is an interesting story in California. California plans to revoke 17,000 commercial driver's licenses that they were given to illegal aliens, to immigrants, is how they're phrasing it, though. See what happens? See what happens when you apply a little bit of pressure? Now, what's going to happen? Probably those people are going to have to go home and leave because they're not going to have a source of income. But this is what we voted for. It's so crazy because I could sit here and support that, obviously, because you and I both probably support the fact that illegal aliens should not be driving vehicles, especially receiving CDLs. And the Transportation Department applied a little bit of pressure, just a little bit of pressure. And now California has given in. California is planning to revoke 17,000 CDLs given out to immigrants after the Trump administration raised concerns about people in this country illegally improperly receiving these licenses to drive semi-trucks or buses. But Gavin Newsom, when you ask him, he said, oh, no, that's not the reason. Newsom said that they are, they're trying to figure it out. They're trying to figure out how these things are possibly violating state laws, but didn't provide specifics. And so it's interesting when you sit back and you watch this, because he can't flat out say, all right, this is a bad look. Because this guy who was driving that truck that you see there was allegedly under the influence and shouldn't have been operating a vehicle at all. And killed, I believe this was three people who were killed in this accident. Didn't even apply the brakes. Yeah, that's probably a bad look. Gavin Newsom's someone who probably can't handle the PR. Also, folks, I want to also say this too. I reached out to the Department of Transportation to get some data from them as well. See, here's the thing, right? I am all on board for talking to people, for talking to the administration and just asking for information because something tells me that those truck accidents that you're seeing play out now that they're telling us about, that this didn't just suddenly happen. There's no way this suddenly happened. This has likely been going on for far too long and we're now just learning about this. So I reached out to the Department of Transportation asking them specifically during the 4 years that the Biden administration was operating, how many illegals caused trucking accidents, bus accidents? And I just want the information. And of course, I did not receive a response there, but we should be able to retrieve that information quite quickly. I want to know, this wasn't something that just started happening. This is something that has had to happen prior to the Trump administration taking its place. Unfortunately, though, the Department of Transportation not doing anything to respond. And we're going to play a clip to the press secretary yesterday, giving herself a pat on the back for being the most transparent administration. There's certain departments that are transparent that answer when I reach out, DHS being one of them, and I'm thankful for that. I'm also thankful that the Pentagon does as well. But the White House, when I reach out for comment from the White House, they don't respond. When I reach out to the Transportation Department, they don't respond. So we have a major, major issue here. We're not going to sit here and pretend like all of these people are trying to get the information out there and they are trying their best to be as transparent. It's not the case. It's not the case. Speaking of transparency, this one's really interesting. And I think there's going to be more to come from this. You may have seen it yesterday. California Governor Gavin Newsom's former chief of staff was arrested on Wednesday and charged with a number of fraud criminal charges. They're alleging that this individual was plotting to steal over $200,000 and give it to a friend. That's according to the DOJ. Dana Williamson is that individual who has now been slapped with 23 counts of criminal charges, federal charges specifically. She's also been charged with defrauding the United States, obstructing justice, filing false tax returns and lying to authorities, wire bank fraud as well. Now, it's interesting because, again, these are accusations, so presumption of innocence here. Williamson allegedly, this is according to the report, allegedly participated in a scheme to funnel the money from a dormant political group to another person's account for personal use. Court documents named Sean McCuskey as a co-conspirator who received those funds. At the time, he was chief of staff for someone listed as public official number one, Now, this individual is former chief of staff of the U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary. That was under the Biden administration. So they're making these insane claims, which I love to see, because I do believe that, and this is across party lines, this is Republican and Democrats, we're going to say this for, they do have chief of staffs who manipulate their power and are intentionally taking money, kickbacks. So it's good to see potentially that this has been one of the first big ones that I've seen in quite some time take place. You want to see more of this. You want to see a lot more of this because this isn't the only case. Dana Williamson was actually confronted too yesterday and given the opportunity to speak out on these claims. Take a listen to clip 14.
Excuse us.
Any comments?
Should other California officials and people involved in the government be concerned now with this investigation underway?
Do you have any comment, Ms. Williamson?
Excuse us.
No, you guys can contact my attorney.
Excuse us.
Do you have anything to say at all?
Ms. Williamson, do you have anything to say to Javier Becerra right now? He called this a gun
punch. Have you been cooperating with prosecutors?
Excuse us.
So it'll be interesting to hear how this all plays out, though, in the end, because, folks, you can't keep covering this stuff up. You can't keep covering it up. I want to get to another clip, clip 13. This one's interesting because the Osborne family says that President Donald Trump actually left them a voice message, and it's a little bit of a more upbeat story. So let's take a listen.
I mean, should we play the voicemail?
Yeah.
Not saying who it's from. Everyone will know.
Hi, Sharon. It's Donald Trump, and I just wanted to wish you the best and the family of great. Ozzy was amazing. He was an amazing guy. I met him a few times, and I want to tell you, he was unique in every way and talented. So I just wanted to wish you the best, and it's a tough thing. I know how close you were, and whatever I can do, take care of yourself. Say hello to the family. Thanks. Bye.
Love him or hate him, he didn't have to call and leave a voicemail.
Listen. When it comes to politics, we know nobody comes out a winner.
I mean, at least he was kind enough to give them a call. I think it's actually a very kind gesture for the president as he continues to battle on a lot of fronts. And he's got a very busy schedule, but he does make the time to talk to people and to wish them well. I think that was a very kind voicemail for him to leave. Hopefully they have more of a more upbeat response. But again, it was a very touching moment. Obviously, President Trump, these are people he hung around with. He knew them quite well. And so it is interesting to see these types of things. And I think it's something positive to definitely look at. All right, folks, got a lot to discuss. We're going to be kicking off the next portion of the hour by digging into the Epstein emails that were dumped on us yesterday by, of course, House Democrats, who are looking to stir up some controversy because they themselves are trying to, you know, tell us where to pay attention to. Tell us that President Trump is what they want to tell us, is someone who is potentially out there being a predator and going after young girls, even though we all know that is false. We're going to dig into that because I think that's a big issue here. Anyways, we're going to talk about that in a few moments. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. That is where you guys can go and indulge for a very limited time. We've got BOGO still going on methylene blue. When you purchase any supplement, you get a free hat for a limited time. You don't know when the sale's going to end. It could end at any hour today. So head on over to the shop and make sure you stack up right now. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
I'm cutting this important announcement on Veterans Day 2025, November 11th. That means you've got 48 hours to take advantage of this unprecedented sale of ultramethylene blue at thealexjonesstore.com, both the capsules and the liquid tincture. Now listen to me. You can buy one bottle of either and get another free. That's massive right now. And on top of it, every order, not just methylene blue, gets a free custom high-quality ball cap of your selection and choosing at thealexjonesstore.com. So take action. This is only for 2 days. I was about to end the methylene blue ad today because we have the free baseball cap. We've done that before, and it's a huge success. People love it, and that's a big freebie. But it was Veterans Day, and I thought, why am I just cutting an ad about a ball cap? Why don't we make it about health and energizing our lives, not just having a nice hat and spreading the word and meeting a lot of people. That's fun as well and very informative. So this is a true 360 win. I want to thank all of America's veterans of wars and conflicts, and I want to thank all the viewers and listeners for their support and their word of mouth in the info war, because we are all veterans of the fight against the globalists, their COVID attack, the transgenderism, the open borders, the leftists, out-of-control tyrants. And we're winning major battles, but we have not won the war yet. We have turned the tide thanks to all of you. So I want to thank you on this Veterans Day for the next 48 hours for your support. And I want to ask those of you that have been on the fence and ever tried Methylene Blue, what do you got to lose? You know InfoWars is doing a great job and changing the world. You know we're under globalist attack, so you're supporting the broadcast. You can't lose there, but when you get this incredible product, it will change your life. It does incredible things. It's so good for you. And the ball caps are awesome as well. So this is a first-time sale like it. Buy one, get one free Methylene Blue and a free ball cap. 48 hours until this Thursday at midnight, Central Time, at thealexjonesstore.com. And listen, barring a miracle, just read the news. Corporate media is actually accurate about that. They got the state receiver in here. We've exhausted basically all of our fight. We never gave up. They can close us down, you know, anytime in the next month or so, but it looks like around January 1st is what the receiver from the state court is saying. But that's okay. A website, a studio. The info war belongs to all of us that have stood up and fought the globalists. We're going to continue on. And the AlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by our sponsor, Big League. It hadn't just kept InfoWars afloat. Thanks to your support, you kept us afloat through it. But has helped build the Alex Jones Network that they own. We got the backup studio. Bigger studios are being built, just as good as these, maybe even better, thanks to all your support. This is the operation you built. The InfoWar has just gotten started. It's not a website. It's not a building. It is the people who understand there's a war on for their mind, taking their country and their planet back from the transhumanist, satanic New World Order death cult. So take action now and let the tyrants and censors know you will never silence not just the people of the United States, but the people of this planet that are God-fearing and then who have awoken to the tyrants and who are taking action. From the bottom of my heart on this Veterans Day, I salute all you and ask you now to count the cost and redouble your efforts in the fight by supporting the tip of the spear, the InfoWar, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fights will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning. Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all joining us today. A lot going on today's show. We're breaking down all of the fraud that we're exposing. We broke down briefly the food stamp fraud that's been going on all around the country, as well as the H-1B visa fraud we'll talk about with Matt Marsden in a little bit as well. It's insane. We're exposing, we're finding so much, and we're going to share it all with you guys. But speaking about exposing, yesterday while we were on air, something dropped. We didn't have enough time to kind of sift through it and to read it for ourselves, but I've been following for the last 24 hours now in regards to the Epstein emails that Democrats in the House decided to dump onto the American people. Now, they did so, of course, without the context and by redacting a very key name, of course. We'll talk about that in a moment, but they did it strategically. They did this intentionally. And as someone, I'm going to say this, as someone who supports the Epstein files to be released, everything regarding Jeffrey Epstein being released, obviously we don't need to see and talk about the victims, have their names read out. Like, we don't need any of that, but there are things that could be delivered to the American people to offer transparency, and I fully support that happening. But I don't like the fact that Democrats are sitting here and they're the ones who are saying all of a sudden now they want this. they're the ones trying to apply the pressure. Because the reality of it is when Joe Biden was occupying the White House for 4 years, none of them said anything. None of them. And so now they're using this as an opportunity to pile up on President Trump. That means, well, two things to me. Number one, we know that President Trump has any Epstein files. We have to just assume at this point, because wouldn't Democrats under Joe Biden or under Barack Obama, wouldn't they have released it then? They did everything to go after that man. And they didn't do anything in regards to Epstein. Now, all of a sudden, they're trying to make these connections when they don't actually have any evidence of it. Listen, I fully support the Epstein files being released, just like I fully support those over 400,000 migrant children who were brought into this country and then they were forced into sex trafficking and slave labor. I fully support all of that coming to an end and being exposed. I don't have this double standard that Democrats seem to have, where they only care about sex trafficking victims when it's politically convenient. If the president of the United States is somehow, some way, a predator, we would have heard about it by now. They are trying their very best to walk a very thin line of defamation against the president right now. If this was had any type of legitimacy, folks, you would have heard about this years ago. Nothing sticks. Nothing sticks. And this fake outrage that we're going to dive into, because I'm going to outline everything that happened yesterday, this fake outrage coming from the left, like all of a sudden now we have to do a deep dive because the president of the United States might actually be a pedophile, that is garbage. That is absolute garbage. In fact, now they care. But when Joe Biden was accused from his own daughter of taking inappropriate showers in a diary that was obtained by Project Veritas, that Project Veritas tried to turn back over to the government because they weren't sure if it was legally obtained by the person who gave it to them. And then obviously PV had their homes raided, James O'Keefe and his journalist. The Democrats come out and demand answers to find justice for Ashley Biden? Of course not. Of course not. And she's not even denying that the diary did not belong to her, when she's detailing inappropriate showers being taken by her father and saying it's probably why she's has sexual issues. That's what she was in rehab for. See, I care for all victims of sexual assaults. And I just don't sit here and say, oh, well, I'll focus on this one because there's a political game to this one. And just to echo that, you know, when Elon Musk came out and he said, or he put out that tweet trying to connect President Trump to the Epstein files and said that his name was in there, I did reach out to Elon Musk directly and messaged him and asked him for proof. Did not hear back from him. But if there's an ounce of proof that President Trump has some way, somehow been implicated in any of this, I would love to see it. Would love to see it. But they don't have anything. This was the tweet that I'm alluding to. I actually saw that tweet back in June and messaged him privately and asked him for his evidence of this. Because there's nothing in the world I hate more than pedophiles. Now, when you publicly accuse the President of the United States potentially being involved with one of the most horrific pedophiles that we've ever seen, you should have some proof. You should have some proof. And unfortunately, Elon Musk did not hand over or say if he had proof or anything to that nature. I believe, deleted that tweet afterwards, if I'm not mistaken. So again, let's focus on what's happened yesterday. Let's go through situation by situation. So yesterday, they obviously dropped these emails. These emails do look like they're talking about President Trump. They're allegedly from Jeffrey Epstein and to several people. But the most interesting part here is they redact a name. And according to House Republicans, that name is actually one of the individuals who took her own life because she was raped repeatedly. Virginia Gouffray, as many people know, she was apparently the victim in the email. So, of course, this is a woman who has gone very on the record with what happened to her and made these allegations public, has published books, has done interviews about what happened to her. And she has never said a bad thing about President Trump. So yesterday, the White House press secretary was asked about this. I want you to listen to clip 5 and see exactly how she was asked about it, and then the White House's official response. Take a listen.
Why not just go ahead, release the full files on Epstein, get this all over with?
This administration has done more with respect to transparency when it comes to Jeffrey Epstein than any administration ever. In fact, this administration, the Department of Justice, has turned over tens of thousands of documents to the American people. We are cooperating and showing support for the House Oversight Committee. That's part of the reason you are seeing these documents that were released today, because of the House Oversight Committee's and Republicans' efforts to get these out to the public. This administration also moved, the Department of Justice also moved to unseal grand jury testimony, which we know, unfortunately, a judge declined those requests. So this administration has done more than any, and it just shows how this is truly a manufactured hoax by the Democrat Party. For now, they're talking about it all of a sudden because President Trump is in the Oval Office. But when Joe Biden was sitting in there, the Democrats never brought this up. This wasn't an issue that they cared about because they actually don't care about the victims in these cases. They care about trying to score political points against President Trump, as we have, of course, seen with this government shutdown. And this entire thing, again, it's not a coincidence to the American people at home. There are no coincidences in Washington, D.C. And it is not a coincidence that the Democrats leaked these emails to the fake news this morning ahead of Republicans reopening the government. This is another distraction campaign by the Democrat and the liberal media, and it's why I'm being asked questions about Epstein instead of the government reopening because of Republicans and President Trump.
But given your Reagan. Interest in transparency.
You see, folks, that's exactly what's happening. It was a great way for them to deflect, and President Trump calling it out on Truth Social, and I hate when he refers to it as a hoax. Again, not something I support. The Democrats are trying to bring up the Jeffrey Epstein hoax again because they're do anything at all to deflect on how badly they've done on the shutdown. He goes on to detailing again and claiming that he's innocent. There should be no deflection to Epstein. And again, folks, the reality of it too is keep in mind, he is the only president who has put out a lot of information in regards to Jeffrey Epstein. So there's that. Now, yes, there's a lot that we don't know of that we should know of, and we do have a right to know of, and I want to see all of it because I've had enough of sitting here and playing these games, but you can't sit here and say that he hasn't been doing things because he has. But again, Democrats are intentionally doing this. They are intentionally creating this chaos, and I don't like it. We should not be sitting here and picking and choosing what sex trafficking victims we're going to support because there's some type of political advantage to it. We should be out there screaming about all of it and demanding justice for all victims. So to sit here and for Democrats to pretend now all of a sudden they have this interest, and I'll give criticism too to Congressman Thomas Massie, and rightfully so, because the congressman, man, he is out here, and I fully support, again, I fully support for us learning more about what happened here with Jeffrey Epstein. But it's just constant attacks, and it's just one way with Massie, and it's not acceptable. Because again, over 400,000 migrant children were shuffled into this country by the Biden regime and lost, many of them landing in sex trafficking rings, slave labor, and so much more. And we have done absolutely nothing in regards to trying to find them. President Trump trying, not hard enough, I think, in my opinion. But we can't sit here and have this double standard because now it's politically convenient for all of us to start talking about Jeffrey Epstein. People weren't screaming about Jeffrey Epstein when the Biden regime was operating. But now, all of a sudden, they want to talk about it now. And it really sucks because I support it, of course. But you have me sitting here and going, well, what are we supposed to do? This is clearly a political stunt being pushed by the left, and I do not support that at all. But I also support those who are pedophiles being held accountable. Because time and time again, we have not heard a single name of who was raping these young girls. It's infuriating. It truly, truly is. So CNN, let's take a listen to how CNN was detailing this to their audience yesterday in clip 6. We're going to walk you through how Caitlin Collins is covering this over at the network. Take a listen. John, these are emails that show Jeffrey Epstein mentioning Donald Trump by name multiple times in private correspondence that he had with people, including Ghislaine Maxwell, obviously his longtime associate and accomplice, and also the author Michael Wolff, in a time span of about the last 15 years or so in these emails. Now, these are coming out from the House Oversight Committee. They had issued a bipartisan subpoena to Jeffrey Epstein's estate, John, as you know, earlier this year. And so they've gotten their hands on a trove of documents. And these are emails that included Jeffrey Epstein on them. They were sent either to him or from him that mentioned Donald Trump before he was in office and also while he was in office during his first term. And I want to walk you through these emails of what exactly we are reading in Jeffrey Epstein's own words in these emails that have been released by the House Oversight Committee. And in one of them, Jeffrey Epstein says, and I should note, Trump did not send or receive any of these messages. He's not a party to these emails, John, but these are emails from Jeffrey Epstein to Ghislaine Maxwell. This is one from April 2nd, 2011. And in this email, Jeffrey Epstein writes to Ghislaine Maxwell and says, quote, "I want you to realize that the dog that hasn't barked is Trump. There's a name that's redacted, which the House Oversight Committee has said is a victim of Jeffrey Epstein's. Obviously, we have not been able to independently confirm that because her name is redacted from this email. But they say redacted spent hours at my house with him. He has never once been mentioned, police chief, etc. I'm 75% there." Ghislaine Maxwell responds to that email, John, and says, quote, "I have been thinking about that." Now, there's no context for that message in this release of what we're getting. Obviously, this was a time span, and this was about 3 years after Jeffrey Epstein had accepted what is now known as that sweetheart deal that only got him a few months in prison, and something that came under a ton of scrutiny during Donald Trump's first term in office because of his then Labor Secretary Alex Acosta, who helped negotiate that plea deal, that sweetheart deal for Jeffrey Epstein at the time. And so that's the context of this came about 3 years after he had negotiated that plea deal, John. And there's also other emails that have been released by the committee this morning, including between Jeffrey Epstein and Michael Wolff. People will remember Michael Wolff, of course, the author who wrote a book on the inner workings of Trump's West Wing back in 2018 during his first term. He is someone who has talked at length about his own correspondence with Jeffrey Epstein, published audio recordings of those conversations between the two of them. And in another email, and this seems to be a reference to Donald Trump saying that he kicked Jeffrey Epstein out of his Mar-a-Lago club, and Jeffrey Epstein writes to Michael Wolff and says, quote, "Trump said he asked me to resign." And he adds, John, "Never a member ever. Of course, he knew about the girls as he asked Ghislaine to stop." So you see how they're slanting this. They're trying their best to pretend like this is some type of criminality here. They're insinuating it. Now, probably but the responsible thing to do would be to reach out to House Republicans to figure out who that victim is. We now know, obviously, according to them, that this is Virginia Giuffre, who obviously went very, very public about what happened to her. She's called out, had no problem calling out those who she alleged sexually assaulted her as a child. But again, if you're trying to push a narrative, as House Democrats are, you would make sure to create some type of curiosity. Pretend like there is possibly a victim here who they should be protecting. But again, obviously, Virginia has passed away and she's no longer with us. So there would really be no justification for doing what they did there unless you're trying to, again, go after the president of the United States and to insinuate that he is a pedophile. She has gone on the record and said that, no, none of those things happened to her with President Trump. And it's not just that, too. There's other individuals who were very present for a lot of these situations and said that President Trump never went out there and sexually assaulted these girls. And again, folks, he's the only one who's been advocating, campaign trail too, for the Epstein files to be released. So if he had an ounce of guilt, wouldn't you think that he probably wouldn't have been doing that? Don't you think that Democrats would have used it against him by now and put things out prior to him getting reelected? Yeah, they would have. We'll walk you through also, which is very, very obvious what was going on here, how they were potentially trying to slant this and use it as a political capital against President Trump as well. Also walking us through it, all of the details later on the show is going to be Sean Atwood. He's been following all of this for many, many years now. He'll be joining us in the third hour of the program to break all of it down for us. But I want to keep digging into this because yesterday, Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett decided to get on CNN. And when she was grilled about the name being redacted, because she thought, obviously, like Democrats did, that they could get away with pushing this lie and pretending like this was President Trump who was going out there and hurting victims. And there was somehow this victim that they couldn't name because, well, they had to protect her. When Jasmine Crockett was asked about this on CNN yesterday, she was stumbling over her own words. Take a listen to clip 7 and specifically how she responded.
This is an email from April 2nd, 2011. Republicans were saying that victim is Virginia Giuffre. As you know, she died by suicide. She's been very outspoken, a very outspoken victim of Jeffrey Epstein. Here's the email right here on your screen. She wrote a book, as you know, and she did not accuse him of any wrongdoing. What do you make of that? And can you confirm that?
Yeah, I don't know. Obviously, it's redacted who the victim is, so I won't necessarily take the Republicans' word on who it is that's redacted. And I don't know why they would necessarily redact someone's name who is deceased at this point.
The Democrats did that, though. The Democrats redacted.
No. I understand, okay, but yeah. I'm just saying, like, our biggest concern is to actually make sure that we are protecting victims. And obviously, she wrote a book. She told her truth.
Obviously, Jasmine Crockett's on the committee, and she probably could have figured that out for herself and could have asked before doing that interview, which she probably knows, and she's an attorney, so she knows just to play stupid and pretend like you're ignorant. You have no idea what's going on here, but she knows exactly what's happening here, folks. She knows exactly what's happening here. This is what they do. They're all pushing this lie. They're trying to pretend like they have no idea, no idea whatsoever as to why this is happening. See, they weren't expecting that the media was going to catch on that quickly. They thought they were going to get away with this. So now they're pretending like we are trying our very best to release the Epstein files. Take a listen to the one of the Democrats, Congressman Robert Garcia, because he is someone who had been very recently outspoken on the subject matter in clip 8, and he's pretending like Republicans are the ones blocking all of this. Take a listen.
Stories. What's holding some of your colleagues back? What is holding Republicans back from voting to release all the files?
They're complicit in this cover-up. When Donald Trump, the president, says, I don't want to release the files, or he tried to remember earlier in this year, he actually even said they kind of discarded them as being even not important. When they're not releasing these files, it brings questions to be asked. And so, again, our commitment from day one has been clear. Release the Epstein files. The men that committed harm should be held accountable today.
You've also been demanding answers.
Yeah, well, let's just talk about that for a second. Why all of a sudden are you demanding this? Why? Now we care about the victims all of a sudden. It's all garbage, folks. It's all garbage. And I have a very strong feeling that there's a very high chance that Democrats on their way out put something in those files to try to go after President Trump, because otherwise this doesn't make sense. Why is he continuously calling it a hoax? I wish he'd go into detail, because every time he says it, I do get angry. Because they're talking about children that were sexually abused by a predator, multiple predators. And we have to give credit when credit's due. There are a group of Republicans who are not shying away from this. They've been very outspoken, wanting accountability and to see the files for themselves. Congresswoman Lauren Boebert, Nancy Mace as well. Congressman Thomas Massie's a part of this as well. And Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene as well. So these are the key Republicans who are out there, and they're not budging, even though apparently the White House has been trying to potentially apply a little bit of pressure. Boebert apparently had a meeting, spoke with President Trump yesterday, but she's not budging from any of this. They're trying to get them to take their names off of a petition, because now it looks like they have the votes to potentially move forward with their motion. Now, yesterday in clip 9, you're going to listen to the press secretary specifically ask or be asked that question about Boebert having that meeting with the president. Take a listen.
Government reopening because of Republicans and President Trump.
But given your interest in transparency, Caroline, why are White House officials then meeting with Representative Boebert in an effort to try and get her to not sign this petition calling for the release of the files?
Doesn't it show transparency that members of the Trump administration are willing to brief members of Congress whenever they please? Doesn't that show our level of transparency? Doesn't that show the level of transparency when we are willing to sit down with members of Congress and address their concerns? That is that's a defining factor of transparency, having discussions with members of Congress about various issues. And I'm not going to detail conversations that took place in the Situation Room, in the press briefing room. Reagan.
I would strongly disagree with that. There's a lack of transparency with this administration. It's more transparent than the last, obviously, but it's definitely not transparent. Well, my definition of transparency, when you reach out for comment, you try to get more information from the White House. Unfortunately, they do not respond to everyone. In fact, yesterday, I believe they had a new media seat filled by a member of a foreign media outlet. Well, American media outlets, news media outlets, aren't allowed to get that, I guess. Most of us who have applied have not heard back, and they've received thousands of applications. But for some reason, we're giving a foreign media outlet access. Now, it's not just me calling out the Democrats and their theatrics. Thankfully, we have the good man, Congressman Tim Burchett, who yesterday was speaking out about the issue. He's done with the fake hoax when it comes to Democrats cooking up this fake hoax that President Trump is implicated in any of this. I want you to listen to clip 10 specifically of Tim Burchett talking about how Democrats just blocked his efforts to release the Epstein files. Take a listen.
This upcoming bill to release the Epstein files?
Yeah, that's why I just put a bill up. I just tried to move it ahead, because what you're seeing right now is what exactly is going to happen, going to continue happening. Everybody's going to pull little piecemeal portions. Sorry about that. I got to animate. I'm Southern Baptist. They're going to pull portions of it out, and they're going to try to fit their own little narrative. Both sides are going to do it. You all know it. You're all going to feed upon it. Let's just get the dadgum bill out. Let's vote it out, and the Democrats oppose me on it. It's stupid. It's all about politics. It's not about taking care of young ladies who got abused, and we should take care of them. But there's a process in place. The Democrats have had it for 4 years and didn't do a dadgum thing. And you know, if Trump was in that thing, Biden, the rest, and Kamala Harris, I mean, he's the Antichrist to them. They would have already had it out. What you got?
I was going to ask about
that. Is the voice of reason, Congressman Tim Burchett. We love him to pieces. He is the very few that are brave enough to come out and say the truth, and truly is trying to advocate for these victims, but he knows he's up against a very corrupt DC machine. Folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. There is so much going on right over there right now. I get this free hat. InfoWars hat's available when you purchase a supplement, of course. And the BOGO sale has just changed over. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now. And also, if you haven't done so already, go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app. Because, folks, when they lock that front door, we need to make sure that you stay in touch with us. So if you haven't done so, make sure you download the app. Have it on your phone ready to go, because that is where we are going to head to, you know, anything does happen. And that is the best way to stay in touch. The information war is never going to end, and we will keep it alive. And the best way to do so is making sure that you follow us throughout everything. All right. Next hour, we got Matt Marsden joining the program, because I got a lot to talk about with him. He wants to sound off about H-1B visas, and he's got a lot of interesting things to say, so don't go anywhere.
I'm cutting this critical announcement on the morning of Tuesday, November 11th, 2025, Veterans Day. You have 48 hours flash sale to get one bottle of ultramethylene blue capsules or liquid tincture and get the second one free and get a free custom Patriot ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com. We've never done a sale this big. It's a flash sale. I was sitting here this morning about to cut the announcement about the free ball cap to celebrate Veterans Day, not just for our military veterans, but veterans of the info war. And I thought, wait a minute, let's extend the ultramethylene blue sale, even though it's close to selling out. Don't worry, more's coming in a few weeks. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason we're always going to be on the air. Because the globalists are close to shutting down InfoWars, the building and the website, but not we the people of the InfoWar. We have the Alex Jones Network that Bigley owns. They're the owner of thealexjonesstore.com, and that's why it's so critical you go there and support the broadcast and get great products at the same time. Victory is all about being aware, standing up, and taking action. And you can't take action in a better way fighting for you and your family's future and our collective liberties than supporting the operation at thealexjonesstore.com. So you have 48 hours to buy one bottle of methylene blue, get one free, and a free ball cap right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Now again, ladies and gentlemen, we're winning some big battles here. We haven't won the war, and the globalists have been salivating over getting us off the air. They are so ridiculously foolish. We're not going to miss a beat. We're going to be on all the same radio stations, all the same systems. It's going to blow up in their face, bigger than ever. The only missing equation is you continuing to spread the word when we make this move and supporting us at our sponsor, theAlexJonesStore.com, while getting products that enrich you and your family's lives. The only way you fail is not taking action. And don't forget what Thomas Jefferson said during the Revolutionary War. The only thing that evil men and tyrants need to flourish is that good men do nothing. You're the good men and women. Take action now. Support the tip of the spear, theAlexJonesStore.com, and I salute you from the bottom of my heart, and thank you for keeping me and my crew in the fight.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Getting ready to kick off the second hour of the program with a lot to discuss. So we're thankful you're joining us today. All right. Matt Marsden is going to be joining me in a moment. We got a lot to get into with him. H-1B visas, he's got kind of a different take on President Trump's comments earlier this week that he wants to dive into. And there's a lot of fraud there when it comes to H-1B visas. We'll walk you through it in just a few moments. Plus, since we're going to talk about fraud, we might as well talk about Jasmine Crockett, who is an absolute fraudster, in my opinion. But most importantly, she's being exposed for spending a lot of money on, lavished hotels. I don't know who this woman thinks she is besides a troll that has professionally been able to infiltrate the, Congress at this point. But this woman just sits here and goes around and she thinks that she should be dropping thousands of dollars at places like the Ritz-Carlton. She's also spent a lot of cash over at the West Hollywood edition. And she just keeps dropping money, even in Vegas. Even in Vegas. We're going to go through the thousands of dollars that she has spent on, interesting enough, her lavish lifestyle. It's nice, you guys. If you're dealing with any financial issues, just run for Congress. That is the simple solution here. Because all they do is seem to get richer and richer. We're also going to be joined in the third hour by Sean Atwood, who's going to be walking us through all of the latest stuff on Epstein as well. And there's a lot to dive into there. We'll also be taking your calls, too, in the second hour of the show, I should mention. So if you'd like to give us a ring, give us a call, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We'll be going back between phone calls, stories, and continuing it on because there's a lot going on in the world today. But I also want to give you guys the time to reflect on anything that we've covered thus far in the show. So let's keep with the topics we've discussed, news topics, over at 877-789-2539. We're also going to talk about Arctic Frost, the very latest there in regards to Chairman Jim Jordan sending out another letter, looking for more information on Congressman Scott Perry's phone being seized. We'll talk about that. I'll also be bringing in the latest in regards to the FBI pipe bomber. Sorry, not the FBI. The whistleblower conflated. It's an FBI whistleblower pipe bomber story. That's the subject line of my notes here. That could have been very misleading, folks. Quick correction there. But I want to talk about this story because Congressman Thomas Massie is putting out a lot on X, and it's important to note that it's being kind of disputed right now. Dan Bongino just coming out moments ago and releasing what he claims are some more evidence that Thomas Massie is a little bit biased. Now, again, we'll go through the information and let you decide for yourself. But Massie's sitting here and he's afraid that whistleblowers are going to be retaliated against. And one whistleblower has come forward through his attorney who I've personally spoken to before, too. In the past, he's someone who represents and works with a lot of whistleblowers. So we'll talk about this in just a bit. Plus, yesterday, President Trump held dinner for, and it was very concerning when I saw the list. We haven't gotten official confirmation, but this was originally a CBS report that came out saying that President Trump met with major CEOs of like Blackstone, JP Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs executives. These are all executives that he met with too. Morgan Stanley as well. This is according to CBS, and I did report that he was scheduled to have a dinner yesterday that he was supposed to be hosting. We haven't gotten confirmation if all of those people were officially there yesterday. It looked like it was apparently closed to the media, but CBS is claiming that these were all the big heavy hitters that were there. This is probably why we're not getting, we're not hearing things we like from the White House, because these people have the president's ear, if this is true. The people that are looking to actively destroy this country and sell us out. A little discouraging. I know I posted that yesterday on X. A lot of you guys were just shocked. And again, it is a report from CBS, but I have not seen the White House dispute this as of yet. So we will see if there's any information that does drop today about just that. So we've got a lot to kick off today in the second hour of the show. Again, give me a call if you'd like to chat about some of the stories we covered, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. A lot going on in the second hour of the show. Do not go anywhere. Plenty more to discuss. In the meantime, make sure you head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. It is time to stock up on all of your favorite supplements, gifts for your family over thealexjonesstore.com. Again, when you buy a supplement, you get a free InfoWars hat as well. Head on over to the shop and do just that. We'll be right back.
I'm cutting this critical announcement on the morning of Tuesday, November 11th, 2025, Veterans Day. You have 48 hours flash sale to get one bottle of ultramethylene blue capsules or liquid tincture and get the second one free and get a free custom Patriot ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com. We've never done a sale this big. It's a flash sale. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason we're always going to be on the air. Because the globalists are close to shutting down InfoWars, the building and the website, but not we the people, the InfoWar. We have the Alex Jones Network that Bigley owns. They're the owner of thealexjonesstore.com. And that's why it's so critical you go there and support the broadcast and get great products at the same time. Victory is all about being aware, standing up, and taking action. And you can't take action in a better way fighting for you and your family's future and our collective liberties than supporting the operation at thealexjonesstore.com. And thank you for keeping me and my crew in the fight!
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
We're excited that you're all jumping on with us today. Busy show, digging through the corporate media garbage, exposing the corruption, and debunking the nonsense. That's what we're doing on today's show, and we got a whole 3 hours of it for you guys today. I'm excited for my next guest, Matt Martin, who's going to join us in just a moment, because there's a lot to discuss in regards to H-1B visa fraud. I want to walk you through this, because Will Kane did an incredible job at exposing the abuse that's going on right now currently with our H-1B visas. And we all heard the soundbite of President Trump with Laura Ingraham earlier this week. And he was very favorable of the H-1B visas. Matt Marsden's going to want to discuss that, because he's got a different take on it. But I want to play first this clip of Will Kane yesterday in clip 16 debunking and kind of walking the Americans through the fraud that's going on right now with H-1B visas. Take a listen.
700,000 H-1B visa holders in America. Now, who is coming to this country to take these high-skilled jobs? As I mentioned, STEM fields dominate the occupations. And most of the workers come from India. In fact, 70% of H-1B visa holders come from India. Another 10 to 15% come from China. 80% of H-1B visa approvals are for entry-level or junior-level jobs. That's a little hard to stomach when we hear that we're not talented enough or that we're not skilled enough for these jobs, when you consider that most of these jobs are actually at entry or junior level jobs. And it's definitely to the benefit of corporations, tech companies, that can hire foreign workers, trust me on this, cheaper than American workers. This is laid out, by the way, by billionaire tech entrepreneur Palmer Luckey.
There's so much H-1B abuse. You would not believe what I saw when I was in Silicon Valley. It is insane. It's obviously a program to try and replace U.S. workers with basically slave labor that can't ever escape. H-1B abuse is crazy.
Is one of my favorite people to have on the show. Please welcome Matthew Marsden to the program. Obviously, he is an actor, but he is also someone who is going to enlighten us with his different take on this H-1B visa controversy that stirred up earlier this week, and we're excited to have him on. You could follow him on X, Matthew D. Marsden. That's Matthew D. Marsden. Welcome back to the show, my friend. We're excited to have you on. Okay, so we heard President Trump make those remarks to Laura Ingraham, and she pushed back at him, and it didn't really sit well with a lot of Americans and a lot of his base. I mean, they're calling it out. But you see this differently, so enlighten us, my friend.
Well, firstly, thank you for having me on. And I feel that I have to just say before I say any of this that I'm absolutely, as you know, America first.
Yeah.
I'm probably the most militant person you'll ever meet when it comes to immigration, especially illegal immigration. For someone who's been through the system myself, I know quite a lot about it, and I'm completely against the abuse of the system. But I think the two things can be true at the same time. I think that there is most certainly an abuse of the H-1B visa. We know this. I mean, this is absolutely clear to anyone who has been in these fields, especially in the tech fields. But I think that what Donald Trump, as we know, look, when Trump speaks, he's normally talking about the last thing that's been on his mind, right? The thing that's most current in his head. So firstly, he says to Laura Ingraham, yes, when she says it's got to stop, or words to that effect. But then he says we have to bring people in. And I think that if you're looking at Donald Trump, what he wants to do is bring manufacturing back to the United States. Okay. So let's just say you've got South Korea that is putting billions of dollars into the United States, and we have to create manufacturing capacity, let's say on batteries, for example. And we do not have the people that have done that in the United States, or if they have, they're already employed. Well, you have to bring people in to train Americans to be able to do that job. Now, we might not like that, but the fact is that we've allowed our manufacturing base to diminish over the years. So what he's saying there is just kind of practical. Look, we can bring people in and then they can train Americans up. So that's the first thing. It doesn't mean that they should be here forever. And of course, I'm not saying that there is an abuse, but that is a practical thing, right? If we do not have the talent here to do that in certain things, and we don't, because we've lost a lot of our manufacturing capability over the years, which is tragic. But we have to bring these people in, and they should go again. Secondly, when you're looking at the STEM fields, either we have DEI in our colleges or we don't. Either we are bringing people in that are less qualified and they're leaving less qualified, or that's not true. And I think most of us know that with a leftist takeover of our colleges, the level of the people coming out has certainly diminished. And so I think that those two things can be true at the same time, that we need to address our colleges. We need to push more people into the STEM fields and train them and be merit-based. Again, I think that he was slightly taken out of context, and because this is such a raw thing for Americans, they're like, hang on a second, you're saying that we're not skilled enough. But I don't think that was his intention. I think what he's basically saying is there are some people that we do not have the qualifications for these particular jobs, and I'm going to have to do that. I'm going to have to bring them in. Because if you see at the very beginning of the interview, which people kind of are conveniently like, you're just passing over, he says, yes, but. So I do think that is true. I mean, this is something that we have to address. This is coming from a theater major, right? I'm a theater major. We joke all the time on the right about people going into doing gender studies and all this, and it's true. What is also true is we should be restricting any access to our colleges from foreign nationals. So this is a holistic thing that I think that we've kind of reacted a little bit emotionally because the system's been abused so badly over the years. And I don't necessarily think that Donald Trump means what people are saying that he meant.
Yeah, well, it was hard to stomach when we heard the clips, I have to say. And, you know, the Treasury Secretary yesterday did clarify and said, yeah, these are people that they're going to bring into the country to train Americans and then leave. But the reality is most of these people never leave, and we have so much abuse there where they stay where they are, and then, you know, ICE is forced to go grab them up because they just don't get out of our country. So there's that. I think most Americans, if he would have just clearly said that these were foreigners that he's going to bring in to train us up on all these programs, and then we'll quickly get them out of here as quick as we can, I think they would have been able to stomach this a bit more. I think it was discouraging that we didn't hear that, because I remember hearing Ingraham push back in the interview about the H-1B visas, and President Trump just saying, we're never really going to agree on this issue, Laura, and kind of, you know, that was his default. But he also, earlier this week, got a lot of people upset, too, when he sat there and said that we're going to bring in 600,000 Chinese students into this country. I thought it was a mistake because Ingraham mentioned the number 600,000. I was like, oh, he's going to correct her and say, oh, 200 or But the number has since skyrocketed. Apparently now it's the 600,000 Chinese students that we're letting into this country. So how are American students supposed to even compete to get into these key positions where they could learn these skills if we're bringing in so many foreigners into our public education system or to our private education system as well?
Well, I'd argue that it's a national security threat. I mean, I don't know why we bring in anybody in from an enemy of the United States to go through our education system. I mean, you know, we talk a lot about the transfer of wealth and money going over to countries that hate us. Well, why are we educating the countries that hate us and that they're clearly a threat to us? I think that there is, even in our government, there's this kind of mentality where they say, well, just because we are at war with them, they don't realize that they are at war with us. And it's a huge problem. I mean, you know, you could get me on the whole college system. I mean, I could go on forever about this, about how expensive it is, how it prohibits Americans from getting involved, how most Americans don't want to send their kids, certainly shouldn't send their kids to the Ivy League schools, considering they're indoctrination camps for the left. So, I mean, this is a huge problem. And even if, let's just say they are, which we know they are, the elite schools are indoctrination camps for the left. What does that do to the Chinese nationals that are coming over, that are being taught that America is a bad place and capitalism is evil? It's reinforcing that. And this is not a good thing. So I think that, again, there needs to be a little bit of nuance when we're talking about these things. And Trump, who is normally pretty good at his messaging, I think there's a huge own goal with, you know, with that discussion with Laura Ingraham and coming off the back of, like you're saying there are going to be 600,000 students come in. It's not as if that these colleges need the money. I mean, I'm all for cutting all funds off, these schools, especially the big Ivy League schools like Harvard. And you see the left, like, utilize them as a cudgel to hit the right with. For example, oh, look, you know, I've had this funding cut. I'm at Harvard and I'm studying to cure cancer. Well, they have $50 billion in endowments. Use that. So what we're seeing in America, even with the college systems, is it's loading our kids with debt. There's no reason for it to be as expensive as it is. It's a complete and utter scam. And this, by the way, I was critical earlier on this week of Trump again saying we got a 50-year mortgage. The 50-year mortgage is an absolute disastrous idea, as is a 15-year car loan. I mean, these things are just number one, kicking the problem down the road and burdening us and our kids. I mean, it's literally like indentured servitude that your kids are going to be paying for your mortgage. No, that's not the way it is. We need to make our houses more affordable. The interest rates are still too high, and people are struggling to live right now. And so saying get a 50-year mortgage is just a disastrous idea that no one with half a brain would ever want to let their kids. I mean, certainly if my son said, I'm getting a 50-year mortgage, I go, what are you talking about? Especially when we need to revitalize urban areas, and with remote working, we can go out to these urban areas that have over years have kind of fallen into disrepair, and we can revitalize them, which most conservatives would want anyway. They want to get out of the cities. They want to move out to these areas where they have community again. And all you've got to do is come off the freeway anywhere in Texas, and you'll find a delightful little town that might have been around in the oil boom, that there's nothing there anymore. And what we should be doing, instead of looking at 50-year mortgages, is looking at investing into these communities and building them so it's affordable.
Yeah. And that brings up my next point, too, because, you know, the administration is touting the economy right now. And I don't think most people are feeling they're not feeling the benefits from the economy right now is kind of where I'm getting at with this. And I think hearing the president mention 50-year mortgage rates to me, or mortgage loans to me, it's insane. But it also kind of sounds like he is admitting that he cannot really reduce the rates, the interest rates, to the point where it's going to be affordable for most Americans. And then this is his alternative. And it's a horrible way to look at it, but it kind of sounds like he's throwing up the white flag on the housing crisis issue. You know, you can't really reduce the cost of homes these days because the boomers will then have to feel that financial hit. And then the young people, the people in their 20s, 30s looking to buy The reality is the probably, I would have to say, I think the average home loan is, or the average home cost is around $400,000. Most people can't afford that. It's not reasonable for most Americans to start off at that level. And so, they're being priced out of the system and forced into renting. And there's a whole, obviously, with all the companies going out there and BlackRock and you're competing with, it's unbearable for most Americans. And when we look at the numbers that are coming out, and I saw this story, in the Daily Mail, I thought it was quite fascinating. They're seeing a foreclosure surge amongst Americans, saying that foreclosures have surged 20% as Americans struggle to pay their mortgages right now. And apparently there's fears that we might be on to the next 2008 style crash soon. What do you think of this? Because you brought up the 50-year mortgage too. What do you think when it comes to all of this, how Americans are going to be able to combat it and be able to purchase homes right now? Because most Americans are struggling to afford the ones that they currently have now, looks like.
Well, I think you have to look at this holistically instead of looking at one particular thing like looking at mortgages. If you're bringing in 600,000 students, for example, and then they're going to stay over here, mm-hmm. a lot of those students that come over come from communist China, but they have money. So all of a sudden, that's 600,000 people with families that are taking homes from America, from the American people. So, of course, you know, it's supply and demand. If you look at what happened in Canada, for example, they were flooded in Vancouver and Toronto with Asians coming over and buying up their houses. So the house price just absolutely went through the roof. It's the same with California. Those houses aren't being bought by Americans. They're being bought by foreign nationals. So that is part of the issue. And then you have to look at other elements that the immigration issue has, the impact that it has. For example, the amount of people that get hit in their cars by illegals or by people that haven't, illegals that don't carry insurance, means that the insurance prices are jacked up for everybody else. I mean, I remember when I was growing up, Brianna, many, many years ago, I was told that when I hit 25, my insurance rates would go down. My insurance rates have gone up and up and up. I don't think there's been a year where my insurance rates have gone down. And I will say this, the American people are being ripped off. And there are practical matter, there are practical steps that could be done to stop that. For example, I pay as much per month on my insurance as my sister does for an entire year. That is not right. It's not like you're looking across at the UK and saying that things are very, very different there. The only thing that is really different is the litigation, the amount of money that people sue for. Well, there are things that we can do to limit that. Now, and I'm all about getting government out of things, but if your insurance for you to get your, to actually go to work is going up, that's another bit out of your budget. Then you look at health insurance costs. They're exorbitant. They've, since I've been in America, they've just gone up and up and up. Now, I am not advocating for an NHS style system, but it's broken. And one of the things that actually really frustrated me, I'm very glad that President Trump is doing these deals with these drug companies, but they've been ripping off the American people for 20, 30, 40 years, and they've made all these profits. Am I meant to feel happy about them now actually giving us the same prices as what they have in Europe? I mean, I remember if you go to get an inhaler, for example, the most you paid in the UK was £6 for your medication. And I remember coming over here and trying to get a medication for my kid, and it was $100. I'm like, Americans cannot afford this. It is unnecessary, and something needs to be done. Now, a lot of people will say, well, it's not necessarily the insurance company's fault. It's the red tape with the government. Okay, if it's the red tape with the government, we got a Republican government, start cutting it. But that's when we look and we go, well, who is donating to you? Who are the people that are putting, you know, funding your campaigns, and why aren't people pushing back on this? So it's not just one thing. You've got an influx of people coming in that are pretty much lawless, that they don't feel like they have to abide by the same rules as Americans. And this is where the American people are getting frustrated, especially if you go to the ER and you see all these people there that aren't from the United States. They're all speaking Spanish or different languages, and you know that they're going to get free healthcare. And this is, it's absolutely unfair. And the government needs to sort this out. And then that will reduce the cost for the American person. But they're just not doing it right now. Yeah. And it's a mistake.
Yeah. Well, there's so many mistakes going on right now. And it's frustrating to sit back and watch. I also, I don't know if you saw this yesterday, Matt. I want to play clip 17 for you because the White House yesterday came out and said that they probably won't even ever release the job data numbers for the month of October. Take a listen to clip 17.
The Democrats may have permanently damaged the federal statistical system with October CPI and jobs reports likely never being released. And all of that economic data released will be permanently impaired, leaving our policymakers at the Fed flying blind at a critical period.
Okay, so I understand the government shutdown probably had some effects on the job report numbers. Do you think that they're not delivering it because it's going to be such a horrendous number that's going to drop from them? Or do you think that there actually are these lasting effects going on right now due to the shutdown where they just don't have the capability of releasing it?
I mean, it's very difficult, right? It's very difficult to say. But I mean, if you're looking at the, as we're seeing, like the messaging that's coming out of the White House right now, it's really damaging. So, of course, it's natural for people to turn around and say, well, surely it's bad, because why wouldn't you get it out there? As far as I'm concerned, I'm not so bothered about the job numbers. And the reason being I'm not so bothered about the job numbers is because we should have gone through in the shutdown, the federal government, and fired a ton of people. And they needed to be in the private workforce because our government is massively bloated. And I think that this is part of the issue that the American people are feeling right now, is they're feeling like we're not moving forward. Like as much as we expected things to change, it's not changing, especially after we came out the gates, right? With DOGE and everything was moving really quickly. It appears to kind of been edging back to, you know, business as usual. And the American people will tolerate that if they're seeing, they'll tolerate like a little bit of the process going through if it's not affecting them. But as you said, it's massively affecting Americans. They're really struggling even to eat, even to pay the bills. And so the American people's patience grows a lot shorter when it's really affecting them. So I think the White House and the Trump administration, they have a lot of issues right now to deal with, and they need to start taking action. And as I said, okay, you're reducing the amount of money we have to pay on prescriptions, but it's a similar thing here in Texas where you hear, oh, okay, well, we're reducing the cost of your property tax. And then we all know that your house is going to be appraised at more money. So it's just a wash. So it ends up not being a net gain for you in any way, shape or form. And the American people are switched on and they know this. So now they're looking and they're saying, you're not doing enough for us. You're not looking after us. There are certain things like, why isn't he really pressuring the Fed? Remember that? It was all pressure on the Fed. They dropped the numbers after. I mean, clearly the Fed's trying to screw the Trump administration, right? In my opinion. Mm-hmm. So why isn't he pushing back on them? Why do we even have a Fed, by the way? Why don't we abolish the Fed? There's things in there, like with the taxes as well. Just rip it all up and say, okay, we're going to have a consumption tax, for example. Because people are getting absolutely screwed right now. And the American people can't get up for air. They're struggling.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Matt, before you go too, I want to get your take on this too. Speaking of struggling, because if you're struggling, you probably should just run for Congress right now, because those are the people that seem to not be struggling. They get paid during government shutdowns. They also get these luxurious hotel arrangements. Jasmine Crockett filing with the FEC, and it looks like she spent about $75,000 on luxury hotels on trips in Vegas and New York City, and so many incredible trips that she has racked up these dollar bills on. I mean, Ritz-Carlton spent over $4,000 over there as well. She also drops cash on her own private security, which I don't have a problem with if you're not someone who's advocating for defunding the police, but she has, and she spent nearly $50,000, according to Fox, on private security. You got about 30, 40 seconds. Your reaction to Jasmine Crockett just being an absolute hypocrite?
Well, I think that every single person that comes out the way that she does, and by the way, I really, really do hope that she runs. I really hope that she's the face of the Democrat Party, as they're saying.
Yeah.
But every single person on the left and on the right, by the way, that bloviates like she does needs to be investigated, because almost every single time they are the ones that are guilty of doing what they accuse everyone else of doing.
Yeah, that's usually what happens. That's usually how it happens. Matt, thank you for jumping on with us. Of course, we appreciate your insight on all of these issues as always. Give him a follow on X, folks. Matthew D. Marsden. That's Matthew D. Marsden. Thank you for joining me, my friend.
Thank you.
Folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over to the alexjonesstore.com because, folks, we got a lot going on over there. When you purchase a supplement, you're going to get an InfoWars hat for free, for free. So you got to head on over to the shop right now. And it's time to buy. I've already done some of my Christmas shopping, And we've got those SheLegit gummies, buy one, get one free right now over at the shop, thealexjonesstore.com. As many of you guys know, we do these buy one, get one free deals for a few hours. So that's what we got going on over there right now. So head on over to the shop and stock up. There's so many incredible deals going on right now over the alexjonesstore.com. More next.
I'm cutting this important announcement on Veterans Day 2025, November 11th. That means you've got 48 hours to take advantage of this unprecedented sale of ultramethylene blue at thealexjonesstore.com, both the capsules and the liquid tincture. Now listen to me. You can buy one bottle of either and get another free. That's massive right now. And on top of it, every order, not just methylene blue, gets a free custom high-quality ball cap of your selection and choosing at thealexjonesstore.com. So take action. This is only for 2 days. I was about to end the methylene blue ad today because we have the free baseball cap. We've done that before, and it's a huge success. People love it, and that's a big freebie. But it was Veterans Day, and I thought, why am I just cutting an ad about a ball cap? Why don't we make it about health and energizing our lives, not just have a nice hat and spread the word and meet my other people. That's fun as well and very informative. So this is a true 360 win. I want to thank all of America's veterans of wars and conflicts. And I want to thank all the viewers and listeners for their support and their word of mouth in the info war, because we are all veterans of the fight against the globalist, their COVID attack, the transgenderism, the open borders, the leftists, out of control tyrants. And we're winning major battles, but we have not won the war yet. We have turned the tide thanks to all of you. So I want to thank you on this Veterans Day for the next 48 hours for your support. And want to ask those of you that have been on the fence and ever tried Methylene Blue, what do you got to lose? You know InfoWars is doing a great job and changing the world. You know we're under globalist attack. So you're supporting the broadcast. You can't lose there. But when you get this incredible product, it will change your life. It does incredible things. It's so good for you. And the ball caps are awesome as well. So this is a first-time sale like it. Buy one, get one free methylene blue and a free ball cap. 48 hours until this Thursday at midnight Central Time at thealexjonesstore.com. And listen, barring a miracle, just read the news. Corporate media is actually accurate about that. They got the state receiver in here. We've exhausted basically all of our fight. We never gave up. They can close us down, you know, anytime in the next month or so, but it looks like around January 1st is what the receiver from the state court is saying. But that's okay. A website, a studio. The info war belongs to all of us that have stood up and fought the globalists. We're going to continue on. And the AlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by our sponsor, Big League. That hadn't just kept InfoWars afloat. Thanks to your support. You kept us afloat through it. But has helped build the Alex Jones Network that they own. We got the backup studio. Bigger studios are being built, just as good as these, maybe even better, thanks to all your support. This is the operation you built. The InfoWar has just gotten started. It's not a website. It's not a building. It is the people who understand there's a war on for their mind, taking their country and their planet back from the transhumanist, satanic New World Order death cult. So take action now and let the tyrants and censors know you will never silence not just the people of the United States, but the people of this planet that are God-fearing and who have awoken to the tyrants and who are taking action. From the bottom of my heart on this Veterans Day, I salute all you and ask you now to count the cost and redouble your efforts in the fight by supporting the tip of the spear, the InfoWar, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're taking your calls in in this hour. So give me a ring, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. Give us a call. We want to keep it to topics that we've discussed thus far, of course. So give us a call. I'm going to play clip 15 for you guys because before we jump into the call, because this one was really interesting. Tim Tebow went on a podcast and he broke down the numbers in regards to this pedophilia issue that we have in this country, but specifically child pornography. And it was quite the alarming interview that he gave when he decided to pull up a map and just give New York as an example and show the American people how many predators we potentially have out there right now who are downloading child porn in the state of New York. Take a listen.
It is one of the worst evils in the world, and it is happening all around the world at a massive scale, but it's also happening right here in the U.S. And right now, this year, somewhere between 300,000 to a million people will be trafficked in the U.S. And so many of those will be minors. And trafficking is a horrible, horrible evil. But also something that's really important to highlight is the exploitation
of the traffic.
No, the exploitation. So a lot of people bunch them together, but they're a little bit different. Trafficking is primarily done for profit. Exploitation is primarily done for pleasure. So exploitation is done, most of the time on the internet, and there'll be like peer-to-peer networks that someone download a peer-to-peer network and they will, share child rape videos and they'll be part of groups that goes back and forth. And we just think this is happening, you know, over there somewhere, but I pulled something just for you guys. Can y'all pull that up? You see that? Those red dots? This is New York State. That every red dot is a unique IP address that is downloading and sharing child images and videos. And that's just the last 30 days in the state of New York.
Jesus.
Whoa.
And is the FBI arresting these people?
Well, do you see the blue dots? Those are the ones that are being investigated.
That's so it. Just investigation?
The blue dots are the ones that are being investigated.
But if you have a confirmed IP address that's sharing this type of content.
So it's a good conversation, and a lot of people will say, well, how are they not doing more? Our law enforcement. Can areas get better? Of course, but our law enforcement is so undermanned. It does not have many places, does not have the best tech. They are undermanned. There is a few people that are, their job is this. It is not a lot. Like we have, you know, we want to talk about all these things and they can't, you know, and defund them. Listen, when you defund them, you're not actually caring for these boys and girls. Mm-hmm. I think we need to escalate how many hires we have, especially in victim identification, to keep these boys and girls safe. It's one of our bills in Congress. It is the Renewed Hope Act is so that we would hire more victim identification specialists to be able to identify these boys and girls so that we can knock on that door and go safeguard that child.
Why do you think that this is not unanimously supported or even spoken about? Like it seems
we've been speaking a lot about it.
Of course you guys have, but like,
why is it not amplified?
Yeah.
I think it makes a lot of people uncomfortable. Well, we wrote our bill specifically in a way for right or left because for us, it's not about politics. It's about people, especially people that are suffering. Yeah. And this is trafficking, except this is just trafficking down the hall.
Yeah.
The number one offender in this, biological fathers.
No way.
Whoa. Yes.
Do you think people aren't doing more about this because we feel, oh, this is a problem over there?
I think that is a big part of it. Yes. I feel like we think it's just over there. And
meaning overseas.
Overseas. Yeah, we think it's Taken, Liam Neeson. We think it's all of these other things when it's not. We have so many issues that are taking place right here in our country. And I could keep going off lists. We're the number one buyer of rape for boys and girls around the world. America is.
Meaning like videos of it?
Yes. We pay for the rape of boys and girls in the Philippines, Cambodia, Indonesia, Laos, Thailand. Like we're the number one buyer. In peer-to-peer sharing of this information, we're third worst in the world. China, Russia, U.S., and Italy's fourth. Like this is one of the worst evils in the world. And people think, we're not doing that. Yeah. Yes, we
do really think that.
I know we do.
Yeah.
And that's... That's one of the, you know, our hearts is to get this, you know, message out to
Tim
be able
Tebow
to make change.
And his wife are doing an incredible, incredible job of trying to expose all of this. But as you heard him outline, most people don't even realize that the United States is one of the biggest importers when it comes to child pornography and sexual assault amongst kids, rape. I mean, there's no other way. I hate saying sexual assault. I think it's demeaning because it's a lighter way of saying the word rape. In Travis County, this just highlights the fact that nobody really cares about this issue. I know, like, you know, you have Tim Tebow here, but the prosecutors, people who, you can write out all the bills you want, but when law enforcement's refusing to do their job, which we've seen time and time again, and when prosecutors are refusing to do their job, because we've seen that time and time again, what kind of bill can you draft up that's going to actually hold these people accountable? Travis County is an absolute dump. Because the prosecutor, who is obviously George Soros-funded, continues to release violent criminals, but most importantly, individuals who admit to raping children. A Texas man was accused of repeatedly raping a child. Well, in Travis County, he is now avoiding prosecution in a plea agreement, of course. He struck, after being hit with 9 felony counts, he struck a plea agreement which will allow him not to go to prison. Now, the parents of that victim apparently said that they had no idea that this deal was being given, telling one of the local news affiliates specifically that he was not made aware by the prosecutor and was completely blindsided by the decision. Happens time and time again in Travis County. Now, again, he, according to this report, Richard Bell is the individual here, has accepted this plea agreement. You get 5 years of deferred probation. We'll have to register as a sex offender. And is being blocked from contacting the victim. When somebody admits to committing such a heinous crime, in normal states, without any politics, you could sit here and say, most Americans would probably want that individual to go to the death penalty. This would be a death penalty case. But not in Travis County, because Travis County has been infiltrated by lefties who have just decided to just take over the criminal court system. They don't care about laws, holding people accountable, justice for rape victims. No, no, no. The father is saying that we were not even notified. It gets even worse, though. It really does in Travis County. Again, I continue to follow it. As many of you guys know, InfoWars employee, one of the staffers, the writers here, Jamie White, was murdered this year. And it looks like, but they're hiding it because, of course, these are juveniles. They could, potentially are going to drop, and we don't know if they've done it yet, the capital murder charge, charge that was hit on all 4 of the suspects involved in that. 2 of them are minors, and it looks like potentially those charges are going to be reduced as well. This is what goes on in Travis County. They have more empathy for the actual perps rather than victims of crime. But good news, and this has me feeling good, because Florida is the future. Florida yesterday actually announced that they're going to go after 1 alleged pedophile. They've indicted a man named Nathan Holberg, and ultimately they are charged him with capital sexual battery against a toddler. Now, according to the court filings yesterday, they are now pursuing the death penalty against this predator. So just in comparison, to compare how we actually handle these types of cases, Florida is going to seek the death penalty against a man that they allege raped a toddler. But in Travis County, Texas, a man who just took a plea deal, they let him free. Now we'll give you a little probation. And we'll tell your neighbors you're a sex offender. And that's it. The comparison, people, is mind-blowing. Absolutely mind-blowing. All right, I want to take some calls. If you haven't done so already, give us a ring, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We'll be taking calls, diving into stories, and bouncing back and forth over the next, I'd say, about 40 minutes. So let's take our very first caller. Let's bring on Wild in Wisconsin. Wild, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I have a couple points, but first I was wondering if you heard of DACO, D-A-C-O?
I don't think so. Mm-mm.
It's kind of like TACO. Have you heard of that, the acronym?
Not the acronym itself.
they were saying on the mass media that Trump always chickens out and DACA with Democrats always chicken out with this government shutdown, you know, because they're massive gaylords. And that's why they just like pivot over to like the Epstein stuff. They have no creativity. They just have to switch over and copy the moves that worked for us. Mm-hmm. And Epstein and the whole child trafficking thing was huge during the 2016 election and the past election, you know, and it's a deep rabbit hole because of the intelligence ties, you know, with Mossad and the CIA doing honeypots. And it's just a dark and dirty business, evil world. And, you know, like the witnesses said, you know, it was a Jewish supremacy cult. And you see all the restrictions that go on when Israel and anti-Semitic stuff is button issue because of the power lobby over there, and something that's been issue for all of time, I think, for thousands and thousands of years throughout history. And, you know, the witness, Virginia Jeffrey, I was reading in the articles, they all said she committed suicide. Like, she was very adamant in saying that she would never commit suicide, that she was going to take this battle to the end. She was hit by a random school bus also before she died. And then her kidney shut down after going to the hospital. So I think she was murdered. It's one of the reasons I think Epstein is possibly alive, in my opinion, because it's like, why else would witnesses be getting murdered and murked in mysterious, weird ways? But I thought that was bizarre that, you know, they're just saying that she was she committed suicide, even though she explicitly said multiple times on video and on Twitter that she would never do that because, you know, she was raped a lot and was a victim, and she wanted to fight for the other victims that couldn't speak. So I think this Epstein stuff is going to continue. I think they planted stuff on Trump like they've done many people before, you know, and they're going to just keep going on with this. You can see the same strategy the Democrats do with bringing up grocery prices, like how we were bringing that up before, and now they're bringing it up, you know. So it's just the same strategies over and over, and you know, dumb, brainwashed American will just latch on to any NPC programming cartridge just slammed into their skull. So it's just something we have to deal with. But then lastly, I'll try to be real quick. I think one of the good things Russia one of the good things that we should do is have Russia come and help us with fighting the wildfires that are starting in California. They have a service that's international that when, like, Chile has a wildfire, they can call Russia and they come and do their water bombing, and then they go, and that can be done in tandem with U.S. Firefighting fleets. And I think it can be used as a sweetener for the peace process in the Ukraine and Russia war. As Trump knows, there's nothing better in business than exchanging money and doing monetary services between countries of, you know, millions of dollars. And I think it would really stick it to that that cocaine addict, what's his name? Gavin Newsom. I think it would really stick it to Gavin Newsom on his poor ability to run his state if, you know, we just put out the wildfires before they spread and cause all this damage. I don't know if you saw, as of yesterday, they're creeping up into the Malibu Beach area again, and there's rain forecasted tonight, so there could be mudslides.
Yeah.
You know, I see these wildfires, and they just let them burn. And I'm so concerned about the climate because it releases all this smoke and particulate that just wafts over the entire U.S. I've heard rumors and conspiracy theories that, like, the nefarious agencies in the U.S. plant drugs, plants with drugs in them. So when they burn the chemicals and the drugs waft over the U.S. and we breathe it all in.
Yeah. Well, so I mean, I don't know if we need the Russians really, though. I think we probably should be able to do it ourselves at this point. Kind of like with my H-1B visa argument, why can't we do it ourselves? We should be able to. There should be probably a federal entity that helps out with those types of cases. But I'm no expert on that front. But, oh, man, I mean, I don't see the Russian angle being very popular these days with bringing in the Russians to help us out with our own wildfires. I think that would be an admission of fault, an admission of we can't handle this ourselves. We have to rely on the Russians. So I don't know if that gains much in the way of support, but I want to thank you, Wild, of course, as always, for calling into the show. We appreciate it. We'll keep our eye on the wildfires, of course, because we know that's the ones that were taking place last year. Those were, according to our own government now, admitting that they were set intentionally. They were arson. So none of that is surprising to me. All right, I want to turn to Tim in California. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Brianna. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling, Tim.
Talking about Gavin Newsom, we were just saying the other day he was trying to find his well anyways. He was in Brazil just the other day, and he was trying to help them with their wildfire problems. And I thought, boy, out of all the people you could sign up to help you with wildfires, I don't know why you'd want to get this guy's advice. Anyways, that's not why I called. I'm calling, and I'm not trying to blackpill anyone today, but I saw this alarming report this morning that a record number of women want to leave the United States. And this is a Gallup poll of 1,000 women aged 15 to 44. Mm. And it shows that in 2014, it was 10%. But this year of 2025, it's 40%. And I'm thinking, boy, if guys are already having a hard time asking girls out for dates and we're not getting married, not having kids, and can't buy houses, and, you know, 4 out of 10 women say, look, man, I'm just going to catch the next plane out of town. I'm done. That's not a good sign. I think it may be that maybe communism, Marxism, socialism, all these things are creeping into the point for decades and decades now, to the point where, you know, the pendulum has swung past the point of the middle now. They are now moving into momentum. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, your proof, of course, is your Mandani, Zoran Mandani.
Well, you know,
your proof.
Tim, you know what's so crazy? I mean, this might actually work out well for men, though. I mean, this is likely just the liberal women fleeing. I don't think conservative women would flee to another country. So this might actually help out men sift out the bad.
I agree. That's fair. That's a good point. Okay, I'm not blackpilled after all.
See, you came with a black pill, and I served you up something a little bit more optimistic.
See, you're fair. You're fair and balanced. You said you are. And you really do a great job, too. I've heard you, like, virtually every day, except for the time when I have left. I can't have a doctor's appointment or something, but I hear you all the time. I used to even hear you when you were on Saturdays.
Oh, yeah, I know. I have a busy schedule. Saturdays are my farmer's market days now, so we no longer do the Saturday show. But, you know, you got more of me. We're 5 days a week now, so
we'll
celebrate that. Tim, thank you for calling into the show. It was a delightful experience speaking to you, of course, and you bring up that great poll because I totally missed that one, so that's a good one. So thanks for putting that on my radar. I want to turn to Tim in Seattle. Tim, welcome to the show.
How's it going, Brianna? Good morning.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Doing good. I've done some research over the years, and the Epstein thing was really kind of, it was on the surface. We were talking about it before the election, and we've all discovered that it's pretty much, a lot of the AI models would tell you if they're not locked into lying everything, that most of the people that committed the Epstein, or not the, the COVID crimes at the higher up levels, we're all compromised at Epstein Island. The hospital executives, the insurance executives, the scientists, everybody. They were all compromised there. Bill Gates, everybody. I mean, if Trump really wants to establish some sort of legacy, he could move against Gates. That's his only option for redemption, in my view, is if he moved against Gates and Fauci. And so what if the whole Epstein thing, I mean, it's not because it's going to collapse the economy. It's going to implicate the Department of Defense of poisoning the public. I think that's the reason why he's protecting the Epstein files. But if we don't relent and we demand our due, you know, because we definitely want the truth, and or they're just going to set the precedent that we don't matter, then they're going to flip us off and say thank you very much for our vote. So we have to be better than that. We have to demand accountability. We have to demand the Epstein files. Or, you know, they're just going to continuously treat us as if we're in a daycare and sell us our rights out. So, God bless.
Well, thank you. No, so thank you for that. I mean, I'm all on board for demanding it. I mean, at this point, yes, it gets on my nerves that Democrats have used this political point for them. I mean, they're just doing it just because they probably likely have planted something bad in those files that they probably are going to try to move to get President Trump impeached with. I think that's probably what the holdup is here. I wish you'd just flat out come out and say it, though, because I don't like the fact that he calls it a hoax, because it's not a hoax, that we all know what happened there. So I think it's very, I know it's not what he means. He's not trying to say that it didn't happen. He's just trying to say that probably that there was something planted in it. So you're very likely correct. Tim, thanks for calling into the show. We appreciate it. We've got about 3 more minutes. I'll go to Andrew in New Jersey. Andrew, we've got a short window of time, but welcome back, my friend.
Thanks. I'm not going to play this call for my wife because I text my ex-girlfriend, unbeknownst to her, and I have two girls, well, one employer with the same name, Han Liu, and my ex-girlfriend came from China on the H-1B visa, and now she owns her own business. And I agree with the criticisms, but also there's a second side to it. The other Han, she opened a business, and I work for the Chinese people, often our clients in the fashion industry and other industries, and they're the best people to work with. They always pay the day of the shoot. And I wanted to say that people, also my wife is Asian. She came here, barely spoke English, yet she was the best student when she studied to be a medical technician, and now she's a nurse. And it raises the level of the education system by having better students, just like school choice. It pressures the failing schools and manufacturing, car manufacturing. When we battled with Japan, it raises. And also I want to link it to your video, where the infamous video where the guy was stalking you. Asian students, Asian people commit less crimes, less violent crimes. So they're quality people that we're bringing into the country. And you and I are Italian, and they use, as far as like lower wages, they use the term Guinea for us. And that was historically because the Italians stayed and they worked for lower wages. So if it wasn't for people working for lower wages, immigrants, we wouldn't be in this great country. And that's part of our system. It's not just a corporate greed. I heard the guy Fishburne on your show. He was like, well, corporate greed in tech, but he pays less for the product. So it works both ways. So that's part of our system, is to have immigrants that work for less. I hired construction guys. They charge a little less. They did excellent work. And so a lot of the Chinese people are the salt of the earth, the Asian people. If I wasn't married to my wife at Columbia University, I worked with the students there, I would be married to another Asian lady, Chinese lady, maybe. But I'm just saying that there's two sides to the story.
Andrew, you're outsourcing the job. Right, but you're outsourcing the job to another Asian woman. You're being your wife. That's what I heard there.
That's why I'm not going to play this call. But I'm just saying that people come here and they work for lower wages. That's part of the system. And lastly, my other side is Slovak. And my grandfather was a coal miner working for low wages. So people got energy for lower wages because immigrants came here and were willing to do those jobs. And the Chinese students are always the best students. So they pressure us to rise to the level. Just like my wife would wake up at 4:30 in the morning and translate everything from English to Thai. And she was the best student, despite that there were native born students that spoke English as their first language. So right there. And she influences me on a daily basis. So
yeah. Well, it's good to hear, Andrew. And it's good to hear you detail your argument on that front. We could agree to disagree on the H-1B visa thing. But I understand what your take is on that. So thank you for calling in. As always, it's a pleasure to hear from you folks. We're going to continue taking calls. So give us a ring, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. Into the next hour of the show, we'll do just that. So give me a ring, give me a call, and we'll chat. We'll chat about the news stories that we've discussed thus far. If you have something on your mind, give us a call now. Folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We just changed over the BOGO sale. Shilajit gummies is what we got going on right now. It's buy one, get one free. Plus, when you purchase a supplement, you're going to get a free InfoWars hat. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and check it out. A lot going on over there. A lot of great gifts that you could purchase. Again, these gummies are popular for many, many reasons. Number one, they increase your cellular energy, testosterone as well. It helps support that. It also helps improve mental clarity. And so, folks, if you haven't done so already, make sure you go try it out over at the shop. This sale won't last forever. It does end tomorrow. So head on over to the Alex Jones store now. More coming up in the third hour of the program. Don't go anywhere and give us a ring if you haven't done so already. A call, 877-789-2539. I'll talk with you guys in a moment.
I'm cutting this critical announcement on the morning of Tuesday, November 11th, 2025, Veterans Day. You have 48 hours, flash sale to get one bottle of ultramethylene blue capsules or liquid tincture and get the second one free and get a free custom Patriot ball cap at theoliveshowstore.com. We've never done a sale this big. It's a flash sale. I was sitting here this morning about to cut the announcement about the free ball cap to celebrate Veterans Day, not just for our military veterans, but veterans of the Info War. And I thought, wait a minute, let's extend the ultramethylene blue sale, even though it's close to selling out. Don't worry, more's coming in a few weeks. So take action now at theoliveshowstore.com and be the reason we're always going to be on the air, because the globalists are close to shutting down InfoWars, the building and the website, but not we the people of the InfoWar. We have the Alex Jones Network that Bigley owns. They're the owner of thealexjonesstore.com, and that's why it's so critical you go there and support the broadcast and get great products at the same time. Victory is all about being aware, standing up, and taking action. And you can't take action in a better way fighting for you and your family's future and our collective liberties than supporting the operation at thealexjonesstore.com. So you have 48 hours to buy one bottle of methylene blue, get one free, and the free ball cap right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Now again, ladies and gentlemen, we're winning some big battles here. We haven't won the war, and the globalists have been salivating over getting us off the air. They are so ridiculously foolish. We're not going to miss a beat. We're going to be on all the same radio stations, all the same systems. It's going to blow up in their face, bigger than ever. The only missing equation is you continuing to spread the word when we make this move and supporting us at our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com, while getting products that enrich you and your family's lives. The only way you fail is not taking action. And don't forget what Thomas Jefferson said during the Revolutionary War. The only thing that evil men and tyrants need to flourish is that good men do nothing. You're the good men and women. Take action now. Support the tip of the spear, thealexjonesstore.com, and I salute you from the bottom of my heart, and thank you for keeping me and my crew in the fight.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Get ready for the third hour of the show. We're going to be taking calls. We're going to be talking about a bunch of stories that we're covering, of course, and we're also going to be speaking to Sean Atwood in a few minutes. He'll be joining me to discuss the Jeffrey Epstein latest in regards to that, the emails that were dumped on us due to House Democrats late yesterday. I did just get some breaking news in that I wanted to share with you all literally just seconds ago. The State Department will formally designate four Antifa-linked groups in Europe as foreign terrorist organizations. That news just dropping right now, according to Fox News Digital. Now, again, we're waiting to see exactly what these four groups are right now, but they're saying that these are four Antifa-aligned cells active in Europe, in Germany, Italy, and Greece. So that is the very latest on that front. They will be announcing all of the details there shortly. Interesting move. We'll continue to follow it as it develops. Again, they are labeling these groups as foreign terrorist designations. That's what they're giving them. They're slapping these on those. So that's good to hear. We'll be keeping you guys up to date on the latest as well. I'll be breaking down the latest on Arctic Frost. We're learning more and more about that. Plus, we've got an update regarding the FBI's whistleblower that apparently came forward to back one of the J6 pipe bomb reports. Now, again, we're learning more and more about this. We'll dig into that. Dan Bongino, the FBI deputy director, is coming out and saying that Thomas Massie, the congressman, isn't being as honest as he appears to be on social media. So he is answering back on that, those comments that are being made online. It's a whole mess. I'll break it down for you though, of course, as we always do. If you haven't done so already though, and you want to come on the show to talk about one of the news stories we've discussed thus far, give me a call, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. Give us a call. We'll be taking your calls into the next portion of the show. Of course. Also, I don't know if you guys knew this. This did drop, though. We did get the update in regards to that U.S. Supreme Court argument that's supposed to be laid out for the Federal Reserve Governor, Lisa Cook. As many of you guys know, President Trump did fire Lisa Cook, but she has been on hold since this because they're waiting to hear oral arguments. Oral arguments are set to begin on January 21st. So they will listen to both sides on that front. And then we'll hear from them soon about it. But again, that's set to January 21st. We look forward to obviously covering that here on this show as it happens. But a lot else happening all around the country. We want to make sure that your attention is on. Yesterday, Kristi Noem, DHS secretary, did announce that there were 150 illegal alien child predators and sex offenders captured in Florida. It was Operation Dirtbag. We got that for you. We can actually play that now. It's in clip 11. Take a listen.
Amazing. This operation was called Operation Criminal Return. I call it Operation Dirtbag because these individuals were sex offenders, but not just sex offenders. They targeted children. So sexual assault, battery, attempted homicide. These 150 individuals will be gone off of our streets. Our kids will be safer. And this partnership with Governor DeSantis in Florida is a model that we want to replicate across the country. These individuals should have never been in our country to begin with. The fact that they were sexual deviants and perverts, and now we've gotten them off of our streets, it's remarkable, and we need to do more of it.
That's a step in the right direction. We like to hear that, of course, because the world could use less predators, especially in this country. So that's good news from DHS. All right, folks, if you want to jump in on the chat and give me a call, do so right now, 877-789-2539. We're going to be going down the calls and taking your call. We're covering the stories that we've discussed thus far on the show. So again, 877-789-2539. We'll go through calls for about another 20 minutes. So give me a call. Also, if you haven't done so already, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We just got an update on that BOGO sale, and it is now SheLegit gummies. Those are what we're doing right now, BOGO, buy one, get one free. Plus, when you purchase any supplement over at the store, you're going to get a free InfoWars hat. Now, again, this sale will only last for a few hours, so you got to head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. And it's time to stock up. So head on over and do just that. All right, more underway in just a few seconds. Don't go anywhere. I've got more to discuss.
I'm cutting this critical announcement on the morning of Tuesday, November 11th, 2025, Veterans Day. You have 48 hours flash sale to get one bottle of ultramethylene blue capsules or liquid tincture and get the second one free and get a free custom Patriot ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com. We've never done a sale this big. It's a flash sale. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason we're always going to be on the air. Because the globalists are close to shutting down InfoWars, the building, and the website, but not we the people, the InfoWar. We have the Alex Jones Network that Bigley owns. They're the owner of thealexjonesstore.com. And that's why it's so critical you go there and support the broadcast and get great products at the same time. Victory is all about being aware, standing up, and taking action. And you can't take action in a better way fighting for you and your family's future and our collective liberties than supporting the operation at thealexjonesstore.com. And thank you for keeping me and my crew in the fight!
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're joining us in the third hour of the program. We're taking your calls, we're dropping in your stories, we're doing it all right now. So if you haven't done so already and you want to join the show to talk about a story that we've already talked about, keep it relevant to the news cycle, of course, give me a ring. 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. That is the number you're going to want to call right now if you want to join the show and talk about something that you think is relevant, of course. All right, let's jump back into the calls. I believe this is Seven Washington. You wanted to talk entertainment, so welcome to the show.
Thank you, Brianna. That's Sven, actually. Sven. And first off, I just wanted to say your definite upgrade from Owen Schroyer. You know, much, much brighter.
I like
guest.
Owen. We all love Owen still. But thank you. I appreciate it.
I'm sorry. It's just more friendly. but yeah, so a couple weeks ago you were interviewing Matthew, and he was talking about the importance of making sure that we have a good entertainment industry, particularly films. I myself am a film composer, so I write music. And one of the hardest things with the whole foot in the door process is that everyone still has to go to places like Hollywood in order to do that. And it's just woke garbage everywhere. And, you know, he pointed out the fact that we've got these small up-and-comings, Angel Studios, and then you got things like Freedom Tunes. They're doing their fundraiser on GiveSendGo. But one of the hardest parts for employees and for conservatives that are looking for entertainment to support that is exactly where to invest our money, where we need to go to in order to get these jobs and in order to get, boycott into this. Because, I mean, the Blaze doesn't really put out that great of entertainment. And and places like Sorbo Studios is, Kevin Sorbo's great, but, nobody knows about them. Babylon Bee is kind of a standalone. So it's, one of the models that the left really is good at is having stuff under an umbrella of protection so that they can prop up useless garbage like what Disney's putting out. They're tanking in the hole and still staying afloat because they're, being propped up by these communists.
Yeah.
So that's definitely one of the issues that we need to overcome. In my opinion, I think that we need some sort of like umbrella, whether that be Angel Studios or something. It'd be nice to have some place to actually go to.
Yeah. No, it would be. It would be. Yeah, we need more of it. And, that's something that Matthew is like super hyper focused on these days right now, is trying to just start the discussion at least. And I'm on board with that. And I think you're right. I mean, we do need that. Even child programs. I mean, when you go on YouTube and you look at a lot of these shows that are angled at kids, it's where they infiltrate. And so, yeah, I think even having like short films for kids to watch, is something that's important. I joke with my mom all the time. It's like, I hope you kept your VCR, your tapes, because I mean, that's all we're going to be able to rely on at this point. So they've infiltrated there as well. And if you don't want your kids to be indoctrinated through their programming, then yeah, you're going to have to do that. Thank you for calling. And, thank you for those remarks too. I know Matthew Marsden is on the case when it comes to that. So, it's good to hear from you and to hear your side on that too. So thank you. All right. I want to turn to Craig in Ohio. Craig, welcome to the show.
Hi, Brianna. I wanted to comment on the stuff that I saw there on Team Tim Tebow. And, it's great because obviously I think you're going to be covering the Epstein stuff again, which, again, we've been covering for basically 25 years and we get nowhere on it. But beside the point, I'm glad that he's calling out this trafficking. But I think he's given a little bit too much credit in the sense that, who's paying Tim Tebow, right, to do this? Because isn't he a little bit like Charlie Kirk? Maybe Charlie Kirk found out at the end he was taking in all these tens of millions of dollars. And right at the end, he figured out, wait a minute, maybe this isn't such a great idea. And the reason I say this is obviously we want to shut down child trafficking. But the point is, doesn't this start at the top? I mean, Ratcliffe has come out and said we can't expose the Epstein stuff because it would be national security issues. And it's like you either have to choose like national security and these high level people, or you got to choose the kids, right? There's a choice that has to be made at the top. And I think Stuart Rhodes being on talking about the militia the other day is maybe a solution here, because we have to get involved with our local sheriffs and actually have a vote with them, back them, let them know we have their back, let them know they can't get away with this. And if there's stuff going on, these people need to be apprehended and they need to be persecuted and prosecuted, right, for what they're doing. And the problem is, if this happens at the highest level and we can't flush this out, like, we don't really have much of a chance. And who's paying all this stuff? Like, who's paying Tim Tebow? That's what I want to know.
I think he does so I'm not 100% certain, and I think he does a nonprofit with his wife. I think they started a nonprofit. Now, I don't know. I haven't looked into any of the background on it. But he just seems to honestly be a good-hearted person for the bulk of it. Honestly, I've never heard anyone, and I have a lot of friends who have met him, and he goes out to a lot of the speaking events, conservative Christian speaking events, and does participate in those. I know also he also does a dance, like a prom night for disabled children. So that they could attend. So he does a lot of incredible work. So I think it comes from this nonprofit group that he has. Again, I haven't looked at the books on any of it, the Tim Tebow Foundation, it looks like. But yeah, I hear your point in all of it. I mean, I think it's so crazy because, we have Alex Rosen, and I know you know who Alex Rosen is, Craig, on this show, and he tries his best to get these local sheriffs involved. And the amount of nonsense he has to deal with, I mean, I don't even go public sometimes with it. He'll reach out to me when he's having an issue, and I reach out to them for a comment before we go and do a huge PR thing against a lot of these sheriffs, these officers, these prosecutors, because they don't want to actually go out there and make these arrests. It's a real big issue, and I don't understand why it's so controversial. It's something that both sides claim to agree on. It's not political. It's what they say. But, yeah, Craig, I think you have a point there. I don't know why they don't do it, though.
Well, and here's the problem. You know, I mean, he does get money from like D1 training, which is, you know, Peyton Manning. I do believe or that one's or it's Tom Brady. I can't remember which one's which. But anyway, he also gets money from Price.com, and then he gets speaking engagements. Who's paying for all these speaking tours and who's setting that up, you know, and so forth. But here's the thing is that I'm just afraid that this leads right into the technocracy. And I think that's what Charlie Kirk did or didn't find out in the last minutes of his life is the point that, like, guys like Tim Tebow are the perfect people to come out and talk about this stuff, right? Because it seems so great, right? I mean, it's like, oh, wow, we got this great do-gooder guy who's doing all this stuff. But then when he starts talking about, you know, the local police aren't properly funded, I think Stuart Rhodes has the right answer. We need to be the ones that we don't need more funding. We don't need to fund this. We just need to step up and get some stuff done. Because the best solution for you know, Rosen and these other guys is to get help.
Yeah.
Right. And to get help is if somebody gets nailed, right? And people get zip tied and they don't get out. You know what I mean? They get punished for it and they get, you know, and they get put out in the local square and they get, you know, people, they get called out so people know who they are. You know, and that's what Rosen's doing. I mean, they're getting on TV showing these people, but it's still, again, some of these people are just, you can't fix them. You know what I mean? I think that's what he'll admit too. You can't fix them. And so I just see this everywhere, right? Ken Griffin, you know, you watch this with the MAHA movement, you know. It's this whole technocracy thing that's constantly pervasive everywhere. And I get fishy. Tim Tebow seems like a great guy. You know what I mean? And I get it, right? We all want to get behind guys like that, but who's paying him? Because again, all this means is more cameras, more, you know, more right. watching what we're doing, more cops, you know, that aren't doing their job, more of what isn't working, isn't going to fix anything. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I like the work that Tim Tebow is doing right now. And I love the work that Oath Keepers do. So I'm a little torn on the issue. I'm going to try to put in a request to have Tim Tebow on the show and talk to him a little bit about the work that he's been doing. There's not many people who want to talk about pedophilia. There's not a lot of people who want to even go there. So, you know, I appreciate you calling, Craig, and I appreciate your insight and your view on it. I will do some digging though. We will do some digging. Folks, by the way, we did have Stuart Rhodes on the show earlier this week and I didn't, at the time when we had him in studio, put out the website. But if you'd like to help to his efforts, and it's a very expensive thing to do, obviously, and he's trying his very best to bring back the Oath Keepers, but he was someone who obviously spent years in prison for charges that should have never happened in the first place. If you'd like to help support his efforts to bring back the Oath Keepers, you can head on over to his GiveSendGo page. It's givesendgo.com/oath. That's givesendgo.com/oath. That's where he's trying to do the fundraising for the Oath Keepers. All right, let's keep jumping into calls. I see that we have another one. Chad in Minnesota, I think you want to talk Epstein, so welcome to the show.
Thank you, Brianna. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, the Southern District of New York grand jury indictment, that release that never occurred. The judge, I think there were two judges that ruled on that, if I'm not mistaken. And they had indicated that there were less files there and it was related to an FBI agent's interview or testimony or something that was related there. So they didn't release those files. In comparison to, I believe the judge had indicated, or one of the judges had indicated that there was 100,000 files within the government that were related to Epstein. And then also there was the I'm curious as to the same situation that happened in Florida with that grand jury and the release, or the, I guess they didn't release the files there as well. But it sounds like, I mean, as much as I have, I don't have faith in the DOJ right now and the FBI. It sounds like they did their job to get to that point, and then the judges just said, no, we're not going to release those files, and came up. And it's interesting that all those judges have been appointed by, I think it's between Obama, Clinton, if I'm not mistaken, which is also adds a little bit of twist to that.
Yeah, no one even cares about the Clinton angle.
Exactly. And then you say, okay, well, what lies in maybe the CIA with the, you know, Mossad, that relation? There is nothing there because they're not going to allow that to occur. No one's ever going to get any information from that aspect. So those 100,000 files, it's not going to be anything regarding what operations happen with intelligence, in my opinion. That's my honest opinion. I think the CIA put a big halt on it. And then it's, the rest of it is just what's all corrupt within the system. And it, the ultimate thing here is you were talking about Tim Tebow, and what he does is that these kids, these children that go through this, and then it becomes political. So now we're on this whole PSYOP that now we have, now it's going back to, oh, well, look at Trump, look at Trump, look at Trump, look at Trump, look at Trump. So it's become political. So now we're just, now all of this to get justice served is out of the equation, and we're right back to just being political. And this PSYOP is working, and it's really, it's detrimental to not only a society, but this country needs to heal of many things. And this is one of them. And we need a big time release of information that opens everybody's eyes. I don't know what we do when everybody's eyes are open, but we need to get to that point. And we need this. We need people to be healthy, and we need truth. And this, everybody is compartmentalized through lies and deception. And we need to be decompartmentalized, and we need the truth, and we need to start healing. It's going to take 50 years for health, all that. And, you know, I'll say two things. Sorry. I do want to, I don't know if anybody has, I don't see anybody out there really commenting on what the EPA put on their website for pond trails. I don't know if you've looked at that website that Lee Zeldin had put out. And I think it's great that you're, you know, they're pursuing that.
Did you say
but that is another PSYOP. If you read that, if you go to epa.gov/, I think it's contrails.
Okay. Yeah, I see.
That's like a PSYOP. They're like trying to cover that up. They're basically saying that, oh, guess what? These clouds that are created after, the, you know, it's all contrail. It's not, it, you have to go to that site and read that.
Yeah, I just got there now. This will be a project.
And one other thing, congratulations on the Pentagon.
Thank you.
With your access.
Yeah.
I highly recommend looking into Dr. Robert Kadlec and look at his position that he is up for, what he's going to be doing with nuclear, biological, chemical, and radiology. I just highly recommend you look into that, because he has a history that, according to Robert Kennedy Jr., even in his book, he talks about it, and that is alarming where he is sitting. So
say that in one more time for me, Chad.
Dr. Robert Kadlec. He was the one of the main guys that actually was the engineer or the architect of Operation Warp Speed. And he has a, if you look in the real Anthony Fauci's, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s book, you look at the very last chapter, I believe it's called Germ Wars, chapter 12. Robert F. Kennedy lays out in detail a lot of his history, about a third. Very interesting position. Biological, in my opinion, the nuclear is interesting, but the biological aspect of that position is alarming to me. So. Well.
That's on my to-do list. So thank you, my friend, for calling and putting that there. I appreciate you flagging it for me, of course. Chad, thank you for calling. We want to turn to a first-time caller now. Steve in Detroit, welcome to the show, Steve.
Hey, good morning, InfoWars. Good morning, Brianna. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, my friend?
Doing good. Hey, I wanted to do a few things. I'm one of the displaced web developers, so I'll give you a couple minutes on that spiel, and then I'll let you get back to taking other calls. But first of all, thank you, InfoWars, for covering this. I'm flipping through the channels yesterday, and nobody's talking. I mean, H-1B came up a little bit, but there's so much other BS, and I know that this affects me more than it affects other people, but I wanted to talk a little bit about the application process. It's a total scam. Look into it a little bit. You can go on YouTube, and I'm not talking to you, but I'm talking to people that are listening. You can go on YouTube, and you can read reports of different developers going through the application process. You'll apply for 40 jobs. Everyone will tell you, yeah, this is, you're a good fit. The recruiters, there's a whole recruiting system around it. Most of it's from India, right? So there's been several jobs that I've actually applied for or signed agreements, exclusive right to represent, and I've never even been offered to those positions. So the H-1B thing is a scam. It's a gimmick. Alex Jones talks about this. You talk about this. Steve Bannon talks about this. Everybody that knows that this is another piece of our country that we're giving up to foreign invaders, pure and simple. So, again, thank you guys for covering it. Keep banging the drums on this issue, please. And we need to get rid of the H-1B scam.
Yeah. Yeah, Steve, I'm on board for that. Thank you for calling. I know it was your first time calling, so it's an honor to have you on the show, my friend, and we're all on board. We all know it, and we're pushing that, so thank you. Jacob in Washington, I hear you want to talk about the 50-year mortgage issue that we had up on the show earlier today. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Brianna.
Hi, can you hear me?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, can you hear me just fine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm like 39 years old. I live in an apartment. I make pretty good money. I'd love to be able to live in a home, even if I wasn't able to pay for it till I'm like 90 or whatever. But I think that's kind of optimistic to have an option for me to be able to take care of a lawn, have a garage, stuff like that. But I understand the repercussions of that, you know, never actually ever owning it because I'll die first. But then I want to talk about Letitia James and James Comey. They're going after these technicalities about the prosecutor that Trump put in to get her. I can't remember what her name was, but
yeah,
it just seemed, yeah. So like, I used to be a drug addict. Yeah. I used to be a drug addict and a drug dealer, and my friends, quote unquote, they would all get off. Sorry, there's a train. They would all get off on technicalities. So they would have drugs. They would have guns. They'd get arrested. Obviously they're guilty. They know they're guilty. The courts know they're guilty, but they would hire lawyers to get them off on the smallest little technicality. And I think that's what they're doing, Letitia James and James Comey, because they know they're guilty.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they would have their day in court, you know, and be able to tell their side of the story. So that just seems, it's all obvious what they've done. They're criminals.
Yeah.
But also, you know, I don't know, have you seen that 12-foot statue in New York City of that black woman?
Yeah, it's Times Square, right?
Yeah, so anytime you guys talk about Letitia James, you should put a picture of that.
Noted. Yes, the control room will start doing that. We appreciate your suggestion. That's a good one. I agree. Yeah. I mean, and that statue still looks better than Tish James. So I hear you on that front. Thank you for calling, Jacob. We appreciate it. Savage Dog, it looks like you might be our last caller for today. We've got about 2 minutes. So welcome to the show. I know you wanted to respond to another caller.
Yeah. Thank you, Brian. I'll be quick. The caller talked about the Tim Tebow Foundation. I don't know where he's getting his money and dear. I understand being skeptical about some things, but that sounded to me like the enemy trying to squash a good foundation. My pastor and his wife from Northridge Baptist Church in Thomaston, Georgia, y'all remember that because they've got a foundation set up for to help traffic children. My pastor and his wife just went to Thailand to go and rescue, and they actually went on bus with the Thailand police in these houses, and he saw things he said he couldn't even believe. Saved a lot of children, like spiritually and physically, and he specifically brought up the fact that the Tebow House that is that they take in children and spiritually nourish them and bring them out of their hopelessness. Okay, so I don't know where Tim Tebow's getting his money either, but I don't think that's relevant. I mean, they're getting money from churches. I've never heard my pastor one time ask for money. He asked us, we need money to get that they needed recognition software to figure out where, you know, like they see these videos of trafficked women, mm-hmm. kids, and he brought up a story where it took them 2 years to find someone. They could have done it a lot sooner beforehand.
Yeah.
And there and any extra money above and beyond what they needed for their software is going straight to the Tim Tebow Foundation. So this is a serious issue that doesn't need people to come in and poo-poo and say, yeah, but where's it coming from? This and I don't, you know what, bro? I hope you're listening. Don't do that. All right. You're throwing water on a fire, and that fire needs to burn. And to save these children all around the world, Tim Tebow's doing great work, and I'm a Georgia fan, all right? I should not be liking Tim Tebow, but
he's a great guy. And Savage Dog, thank you for calling in, because I know this was like a last minute thing too. And you know, he's a great guy. My friend who's actually her son is disabled, and he fights through a lot. He actually has gone to those proms that I was talking about, and she texted me when she heard the caller too. She loves Tim Tebow. They love him and their family because he has brought their son to these proms, and it's been an incredible experience for them. No cost also. So it's something that they look forward to annually, and I know so many Americans do. So like you said, he's doing great work. Folks, don't go anywhere. Sean Atwood is going to be joining us in just a few moments to discuss the very latest on Epstein. Plus, I got more headlines to dive into as well. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Cutting this important announcement on Veterans Day 2025, November 11th. That means you've got 48 hours to take advantage of this unprecedented sale of ultramethylene blue at thealexjonesstore.com, both the capsules and the liquid tincture. Now listen to me. You can buy one bottle of either and get another free. That's massive right now. And on top of it, every order, not just Methylene Blue, gets a free custom high-quality ball cap of your selection and choosing at thealexjonesstore.com. So take action. This is only for 2 days. I was about to end the Methylene Blue ad today because we have the free baseball cap. We've done that before, and it's a huge success. People love it, and that's a big freebie. But it was Veterans Day, and I thought, why am I just cutting an ad about a ball cap? Why don't we make it about health and energizing our lives? You've not just had a nice hat and spreading the word and meeting my people. That's fun as well and very informative. So this is a true 360 win. I want to thank all of America's veterans of wars and conflicts. And I want to thank all the viewers and listeners for their support and their word of mouth in the info war, because we are all veterans of the fight against the globalists, their COVID attack, the transgenderism, the open borders, the leftist out of control tyrants. And we're winning major battles, but we have not won the war yet. We have turned the tide thanks to all of you. So I want to thank you on this Veterans Day for the next 48 hours for your support. And I want to ask those of you that have been on the fence and ever tried Methylene Blue, what do you got to lose? You know InfoWars is doing a great job and changed the world. You know we're under globalist attack, so you're supporting the broadcast. You can't lose there. But when you get this incredible product, it will change your life. It does incredible things. It's so good for you. And the ball caps are awesome as well. So this is a first-time sale like it. Buy one, get one free Methylene Blue and a free ball cap. 48 hours until this Thursday at midnight, Central Time, at thealexjonesstore.com. And listen, barring a miracle, just read the news. Corporate media is actually accurate about that. They got the state receiver in here. We've exhausted basically all of our fight. We never gave up. They can close us down, you know, anytime in the next month or so, but it looks like around January 1st is what the receiver from the state court is saying. But that's okay. A website, a studio. The info war belongs to all of us that have stood up and fought the globalists. We're going to continue on. And the AlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by our sponsor, Big League. It hadn't just kept InfoWars afloat. Thanks to your support, you kept us afloat through it. But has helped build the Alex Jones Network that they own. We have the backup studio. Bigger studios are being built, just as good as these, maybe even better, thanks to all your support. This is the operation you built. The InfoWar has just gotten started. It's not a website. It's not a building. It is the people who understand there's a war on for their mind, taking their country and their planet back from the transhumanist, satanic New World Order death cult. So take action now and let the tyrants and censors know you will never silence not just the people of the United States, but the people of this planet that are God-fearing and who have awoken to the tyrants and who are taking action. From the bottom of my heart on this Veterans Day, I salute all you and ask you now to count the cost and redouble your efforts in the fight by supporting the tip of the spear, the InfoWar, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at Real Alex Jones and at AJN Live. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to alexjonesapp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. A lot happening on this program today. We've been cramming in stories all throughout the 3 hours of the show. We're now at the final lap in the last 25 minutes. And there's a lot that I'm going to talk about right now. I actually just got a little update in my timeline, and if it wasn't such a serious topic, I'd probably laugh. But The Hill is claiming that there is an email that they have now obtained and been released of Jeffrey Epstein claiming that Bill Clinton never went to Epstein Island. Now, that email, when you read through it, it also clears, get this, Al Gore. I don't know, and I've never met Al Gore. Clinton was never on the island. Now, it's a shame we don't have a live shot of how this email was even sent. Number one, probably if it's real and authentic, gun to the head at this point. I mean, there's no way that he types this out as a serious person. We've seen endless proof that Bill Clinton, in fact, was there in the islands. And number two, at this point, I don't think any of these emails are free or legitimate or valid or real. I'm just going to dismiss everything at this point after seeing this one. This one really sent me over the edge, folks. Joining me to discuss is Sean Atwood. He's been covering this for quite some time now, and he joins us today to detail exactly what's been going on and these latest emails that have been released. Sean, it's an honor to have you on the show today. You've also done a lot of digging into all of this, too, through your book, Who Killed Epstein? Prince Harry or Bill Clinton, Prince Andrew, sorry, or Bill Clinton. So this is incredible to see. You also do a great job on your YouTube page as well. And I'd highly recommend our audience head on over there and give you a follow. But we wanted to walk our audience through this. And this just happened, so I'm trying to read through the email that The Hill claims was released by House Democrats, clearing Bill Clinton and Al Gore of having a relationship with him, but most importantly, Clinton going to the island. Am I imagining things right now? Did Bill Clinton never go to Epstein Island?
So what we've researched from the flight logs is that Bill Clinton flew at least 30 times that we know of on the Lolita Express. Maybe somebody should be asking Bill Clinton, who was this East European girl, Titania, who was on the flight log with him when he left his security detail behind, as he left his security detail behind when he was going over Asia with Epstein as well. We've interviewed Juliet Bryan, survivor of Epstein and Maxwell. She was flying around the world with Clinton and Kevin Spacey, and she said Bill Clinton absolutely gave her the creeps, and he smelt of dead bodies and cleaning chemicals.
That's an upgrade to Hillary. Continue on, sorry. It's such a bad joke.
Yeah, I mean, If you look at the history, Bill Clinton's history, going back to when he was the governor of Arkansas, allegedly a cokehead, serial rapist, for example, Jennifer Flowers, he was completely out of control. He provided the state security for the drug drops. The CIA was bringing the cocaine in to finance the war in Nicaragua, Barry Seal, Air America, Sovereign Air Transport. And it was the Boys on the Tracks case, the two young kids that got killed, we think, witnessing one of these drug drops, that really brought a lot of heat on what was going on there. And it was because Clinton was so corrupt, the CIA picked that state to do the drug drops. And because he played ball with the Bush crime family and the CIA, he was able to parlay that into the White House. He's one of the most wicked, corrupt people on the face of the earth. Not quite as wicked as Hillary, though. Hillary, for example, when Bill was in hospital with nasal septum damage from his cocaine abuse, she just had all of the staff members lined up. You will never work again if one word of this leaks out. She found out about many of the women Bill was having affairs with or allegedly sexually assaulting. She had private investigators follow them around. Pets were killed. People were thrown off balconies. These people are partners in power, folks. Corrupt to the core, they will lie and say absolutely anything. And for Bill Clinton to say he had nothing to do with Jeffrey, just like he did after Jeffrey was assassinated, probably greenlit by Hillary Clinton, is like saying that the Pope doesn't visit the Vatican. Absolute BS.
Yeah, well, Sean, you know, the interesting part here is he's faced so many allegations, and so has Hillary. And again, all of these are allegations because nobody actually wants to lead the investigations into these claims that have been made over the years. And so we could always, we always have to say allegations, allegations. But again, I mean, we're learning more about the Clinton Foundation. And just recently, we learned that the FBI and AG actually submitted more information about how corrupt the Clinton Foundation was over to Congress, but they can no longer prosecute the statute. It appears to be up on that case. And so here we are with just more allegations piling up against these people. And it's really, really infuriating. But, you know, here in the United States, House Democrats are hyper-focused now on all of a sudden begging for transparency in regards to who Jeffrey Epstein was and who he was dealing with, and they want the files released. And that's something that I've been on board for day one with, and it doesn't change on my half, right? I truly believe that anything regarding pedophilia should be outed publicly so the American people could see who's behind all of this. But they're only getting in line now because it's their political advantage to use this opportunity to go after President Trump. So yesterday, they tried their very best to insinuate that President Trump was somehow spending time with Virginia Giuffre, who sadly has lost her life and she's passed away. But, you know, these emails that they released yesterday, they were redacted. And so it's House Republicans who are claiming that it is Virginia who was listed in that email. What do you make of all of this? Because we've heard time and time again from people on the record that President Trump never did anything to these girls and was always quite pleasant to all of them and wasn't involved in any of this. But now you're seeing this email that Democrats are circulating trying to insinuate that there's something more here.
Yeah, I listened to Wolf this morning when I woke up, and he's saying that he was put in an embarrassing light because of the way he was talking to Jeffrey. But he was just acting to try and get the information out of him. That was his excuse. Regarding Trump and Virginia, I've just finished Virginia's book. Absolutely heartbreaking, especially the new allegations she's made against her own father. But she did say, she described her encounters with Trump at Mar-a-Lago, etc., father working there, and she didn't have a problem with Trump from, you know, what I'm gauging from reading the book. Now, if Virginia was still alive today, and God bless her, I corresponded with her on X, and she would be heartbroken to learn that Ghislaine Maxwell, the poster child for human trafficking, has been put in a soft prison with yoga, a pet dog, etc., and may possibly be getting an early release via a pardon from the Trump administration. I guarantee you, Virginia will be up in arms all over X talking about that. And the fact that the Fed sat down with Ghislaine Maxwell for hours and hours, and yet the survivors who've been trying to tell their stories to the feds for years, people, brave people such as Maria Farmer and Annie Farmer, who we've worked with, and they've been completely dismissed and disregarded. It's absolutely disgusting that these people are going to now get rewarded. Ghislaine is possibly going to get out. Hopefully, all this pressure on Trump that is just blowing up right now, because the political house has been on fire ever since Elon made that tweet. Hopefully, all of this pressure on Trump is going to prevent him from letting that monster, Ghislaine Maxwell, out of prison early. But it seems that she does hold some cards, and her family are suspected of doing many of these leaks, including the leaks on Prince Andrew, using Prince Andrew as an example of what she is capable of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Sean, I wanted to ask you this question, too, because, you know, we're being told by our FBI that there's no list of his clients and the people who, or the individuals who we believe were raping children. And they're telling us that there's no actual list. We heard Ghislaine Maxwell, I listened to some of it, her interview that she did with the deputy AG, Todd Blanche, and she also said that there really was never a list. How are we going to extract and find out who these individuals were who were raping these young girls? Because we don't have a physical list. And it sounds like Maxwell might be the only person to actually know. So if you're President Trump and you maybe are looking to actually find justice for these victims, how do we figure this out and still keep her behind bars? Would you have to kind of negotiate with her freedom there?
No, absolutely not. And the list is right in our faces. We've been working with researchers such as Whitney Webb, Ryan Dawson. I've got a Ryan Dawson map on my wall with many of the people on the client list. And at the top of that list, I would put people like Bill Clinton, Prince Andrew, Leslie Wexner, Ehud Barak. I mean, one of the most shocking things in Virginia's book was the allegations against the Prime Minister, which many of us know because it corresponds with legal submissions Virginia has made to be Ehud Barak. And she said not only was he sexually assaulting her, but he was choking her to the point where she had injuries for days afterwards. And she said to Jeffrey, this has happened to me. And he just said, get on with it. It's part of the job. And she was forced to meet this guy again, this monster who actually got sexually aroused by choking Virginia near to death.
Yeah. Yeah. The details that she's outlined are quite alarming, and it's upsetting that these people have not been held accountable. Again, these are allegations, but we have not done our due diligence on the legal side of all of this and making sure that we hold these predators accountable. And it's an absolute disgrace as we continue to sit back and watch as nothing has changed. I mean, we played before you came on, Sean, we played a clip from Tim Tebow just kind of outlining how massive pedophilia is here in the United States. And he showed a map of New York and all these people who are downloading child pornographic images, and they're not even being investigated. And so it is totally a stain on American history, the fact that we sit here and we say that we want to go after these predators, but we don't actually do just that. It is something that I find to be absolutely discouraging and quite frankly embarrassing. So Sean, I want to thank you for joining us today and helping outline all of this for us. We greatly appreciate it. And to our audience, if you want to look into all of the research that Sean has put together over the years into digging all of this, he's got his book, Who Killed Epstein? You can grab that right now. You could also head on over to his YouTube page, because I know you have quite the very interesting, and this will be my binge weekend when I get to watch all your mm-hmm. your videos that you posted up on YouTube. But over on your YouTube page, you do a great job at outlining all of these horrific crimes, but also detailing all the things that the mainstream media probably will never tell us about. So give him a follow on YouTube as well. Sean Atwood Official is where you could find him on YouTube. Sean, thank you for joining us today. We greatly appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. And we've got satanic pedophile elites running the world. You've got the CIA, the Mossad, up to the necks with Epstein, and the donor class as well. These are all the reasons why the files are being protected by both political parties.
Yeah. No, it is. It is. And you know, Congressman Tim Burchett did a great job at outlining that yesterday when he said, I tried getting the Epstein list out, but then Democrats blocked it yesterday. So it's just this little game that they use. And it's pretty sad, given the fact that there's actual victims here. So thank you. We appreciate your time as always. Folks, we're going to keep following it. Obviously, I don't want it to be a distraction, but you know, exposing pedophiles is something that I am extremely hyper-focused on doing these days, because sadly, so many in the mainstream media fear doing just that. But this list is something we should all be discussing. But there's a lot that's going on right now that I want to make sure we keep our eye on. Yesterday, Chairman Jim Jordan, he did send a letter to the investigator, to investigate the inspector general. Now, this has to do with Arctic Frost. Specifically, he's asking the acting DOJ inspector general, which is Don Richard Jr., to turn over documents concerning the OIG's involvement in the 2022 seizing of Congressman Scott Perry's phone. So that's the latest on the Arctic Frost investigation. They're trying to dig a little bit more into that. Scott Perry did have his phone seized. We remember that story. And again, I don't think it was anyone who ever had to be held accountable for that. As always, we didn't really get much in the way of a response to why they did this and what their justification for it was. But again, Scott Perry was obviously a congressman at the time. That's pretty insane. But it's not really surprising. Folks, we also talked about at the beginning of the show as well, the provision, which is insane, that they tried to push into the CR, allowing those 9 senators to sue the federal government for also having their phones tapped, being a part of all of that. Well, interesting enough, that provision looks like it was taken out. But the fact that these senators, potentially all of them, we don't know. I've reached out for a comment for a couple of them, were potentially thought that they were ones who should be exclusive and be able to get in and to have these things, have this access to potentially getting $500,000 in U.S. taxpayer money, because they are part of a protective class. Apparently, those J6ers, President Trump, they never spoke out on those issues. I know Tommy Tuberville did, and this is the only exemption from that list. I believe you had a couple of sound bites from Josh Hawley, maybe defending President Trump, maybe a couple from Ron Johnson. But I mean, these people just tend to think that they are part of a protected class and they should be able to get paid out by the government, not the rest of the average Americans who sat there and had to forcefully just allow the federal government to go and surveil them. Absolute disgrace. Absolute disgrace. All right, let's break down the latest on the pipe bomber, the J6 pipe bomber story. As many of you guys know, the Blaze did outline who they are suspecting of being the pipe bomber. Again, we have not yet confirmed any of that, but that name is floating around out there. But Thomas Massie, the congressman, has gone out there and he's been exposing and digging into the pipe bomber story for quite some time now. And he's probably one of the very few who have done the digging for a very long time. He is trying to do his very best in bringing forward the truth because he does not believe it appears that the FBI is going to be transparent, even though we have a new leader over at the FBI. He actually just posted this letter that came out yesterday in regards to a whistleblower who said came forward and, you know, said that the government, the FBI shut down their investigation into all of this. Well, now that whistleblower who has Kurt Sadaki as his attorney, he represents a bunch of whistleblowers. I've seen him before. We've had discussions with him before on the phone. I've talked to him about other cases that he was working on. He is someone who is now coming forward and saying that there's a fear of being retaliated against over at the FBI for coming forward. Massie saying, I received this troubling letter today from the attorney representing the most recent FBI whistleblower regarding the J6 pipe bomb investigation. Just a reminder to FBI Cash Patel director. In this case, the letter is warrant. Federal law prevents retaliation against whistleblowers. Again, I haven't seen any evidence of this, but the FBI does have a history for Cash Patel's time of retaliating against whistleblowers. I have heard whispers about there being one other person who not related to the J6 pipe bomb story, but who also is claiming and has sought legal counsel that they were retaliated when they came forward to blow the whistle on something internally at the FBI. And that was under Cash Patel's watch. But again, he has every right to defend himself. Every right to defend himself. In regards to that as well, Dan Bongino did respond, and Bongino did actually post some screenshots. So let's be fair and balanced here and listen to both of their sides. Pulling it up right now, that he just tweeted this out about 3 hours ago, saying that both him and Thomas Massie did get on a call early in the morning and that they did discuss this. They did say that they were going to call him back, and they did around 7:30 p.m. Eastern time yesterday. And it looks like Thomas Massie, as you can see from the screenshots, did not answer. It was about a 3-second call compared to the 10-minute call that happened earlier in the morning. And so Dan Bongino is calling his bluff is what he's trying to do here, saying that the congressman is not being truthful, and said this. He ended his long, lengthy tweet here by saying, we would love to have you as a partner in this mission rather than a dog barking behind a fence. Okay, I mean, if you have given him a shot, then yes, I think it's fair. I think it's fair. If they've had these discussions and they are trying to work their way through it, then we'll see how it all unravels. Again, it's just so messy. It's so messy. The government has not been transparent on a lot. And I don't know, now that the name is officially floating out there, I don't know if they would actually go out there. We know that there's a long feud between, long history between Kyle Serafin and the FBI director, Cash Patel. So I'm concerned now that we've floated this story out there that they actually, just out of spite, might not actually want to solve it. That's my little conspiracy here. Again, conspiracy. But I do have that fear because obviously, as many of you guys know, Kyle Serafin's being sued by Cash Patel's girlfriend now for defamation claims. And so you have to wonder, now that Kyle's name is in that story, will they want to solve this? They would probably want to discredit him, one would assume. So again, conspiracy, just my idea floating out there. But I am deeply concerned that this has gone on for far too long. And we want to hear more. We want an official statement. I told you guys, I reached out. When the story broke, I reached out to all parties involved. I even texted the woman who was being accused of this. I called her, texted her twice, no response. We are trying to get all sides to this and trying to figure out what's going on here. So again, we're just going to put the information out and let you guys decide for yourselves. Let you guys decide for yourselves. I'm going to switch gears up a little bit too, because there's so much going on in regards to immigration, and I would like to just take a second to be a little critical of it, obviously, going on right now in the United States. But there was a report that dropped yesterday that says the United States is on track to have a negative net migration. The foreign-born population has declined by 2.2 million this year is what they're claiming, which includes the 1.6 million illegal aliens who have voluntarily self-deported. They're claiming that there's over a half a million deportations legally that they've done. which again sounds great, but again, you know, the DHS secretary came out and she said, we've sped up the naturalization of immigrants into this country. Now, I specifically asked for those numbers. I have not received those numbers. She said it herself, so I figured this would come from DHS, but I also reached out to Immigration Services as well, and I have not heard back. I did get a pretty poor comment from DHS. I asked them to clarify, to possibly revise it before I released it on air, because I just felt like maybe they didn't understand what I was asking. But I was specifically asking for the numbers, and DHS just flat out coming out and saying that they are purging illegals from our country and not answering the specific question as to how many naturalized citizens has the Trump administration brought in since taking the White House. So we'll keep following it. You know, we're going to be fair and balanced. Again, I was very critical of what was going on under the Biden administration. I told you not to trust the numbers. I said that they will probably hide a lot of the immigrants they brought into this country, illegal aliens that they brought into this country, because they don't want you knowing the truth. And I'm going to have some skepticism when it comes to these numbers now coming out from DHS after seeing them, especially try to avoid a very basic, simple question that I asked. And I didn't ask it because it was, I mean, I asked it because it was brought up by the DHS secretary herself, Kristi Noem. So I don't understand what's going on here. But we'll continue to follow that. Yesterday also, Mark Rubio, Secretary of State, came out in Clip 12 and was talking about how China's ramping up their nukes. I want you to listen carefully to what he's saying, because it's really important that we show you this, because this is quite alarming. Take a listen.
Trump's pledge to resume testing of our nuclear capabilities, that includes delivery systems, is on par with what other countries around the world are doing. We got to make sure these things work and that they're safe. In terms of the Chinese nuclear program, that wasn't discussed in any of our meetings. That's something that happened at the staff level. But these are longstanding concerns. I mean, the Chinese are undertaking the most rapid military buildup in human history. So, you know, and part of that is their expansion of their nuclear capabilities. So obviously we're keeping an eye on that. And I think everybody's concerned about that.
Should be concerned with that. And that's really important to highlight there. Now, again, President Trump saying that we're going to begin doing something we haven't done in decades, and that is testing our nukes. And they look forward to doing that safely, obviously. But that is truly important given the fact that foreign countries are really going after us. I mean, truly going after us. So, again, that will be extremely interesting to continue to follow, of course. We look forward to that. Also, we have some extra sound bites that we'd like to play for you. Let's listen to how, and this is going to be clip 19, Mark Rubio detailing Syria and our relationship with Syria moving forward. Take a listen.
It's a little safer in Washington than it is in Damascus right now. So I think that that's part of it. Look, we want to give these guys every chance to succeed. They told us what they want to do is create a national Syrian government in which every element of Syrian society is represented and feels safe. They don't want Syria to ever again be a base of operations for Iran, for ISIS, or for any of these groups. They want it to be a country, not a launching pad for attacks against their neighbors. And so we want to give them every chance to succeed in that regard. The alternative is that if it doesn't work, if this doesn't happen and it collapses, then the alternative is going to be that Syria will fall into civil war and it'll become a playground for virtually every dangerous element in the Middle East, and including a return of Iran, and it'll even strengthen Hezbollah. So we don't want to see that happen. So this is the best option on the table to prevent that from happening.
I don't even know what to tell you there, folks. Rubio, I mean, that is just an absolute disgrace. He is an Islamic terrorist. The United States put a $10 million bounty on his head. And yet he's telling us that we want to see this new administration, whatever you want to call it, thrive. No, we don't. No, we don't. We actually want you to stop doing business with them, stop bringing them in and trying to normalize the fact that we are now dealing with Al-Qaeda terrorists. This guy is responsible for killing Americans. We're not going to sit here and pretend like we want a free Syria as if this guy's going to bring it to them. He was slaughtering Christians just a few months ago. Give me a break. What a disgrace. There's many of those these days. Thanks, folks, for tuning into today's show. We appreciate it as always. I'm not going to be here on Friday and Monday, of course. I might be jumping in, though, remotely to join Dew. Dew will be taking over for those 2 days, though. We look forward to seeing you, of course, on Tuesday when I take back the chair, as always. In the meantime, make sure you head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now. So much dive into. Make sure you start your Christmas shopping early right now. Sheila Jit gummies are buy one, get one free when you buy a supplement as well. You get a free InfoWars hat. There's so many reasons to head on over to the store right now and stock up. Alex is next on the Alex Jones Show.
I'm cutting this critical announcement on the morning of Tuesday, November 11th, 2025, Veterans Day. You have 48 hours flash sale to get one bottle of ultramethylene blue capsules or liquid tincture and get the second one free and get a free custom Patriot ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com. We've never done a sale this big. It's a flash sale. I was sitting here this morning about to cut the announcement about the free ball cap to celebrate Veterans Day, not just for our military veterans, but veterans of the info war. And I thought, wait a minute, let's extend the ultramethylene blue sale, even though it's close to selling out. Don't worry, more's coming in a few weeks. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason we're always going to be on the air, because the globalists are close to shutting down InfoWars, the building and the website, but not we the people of the InfoWar. We have the Alex Jones Network that Bigley owns. They're the owner of thealexjonesstore.com, and that's why it's so critical you go there and support the broadcast and get great products at the same time. Victory is all about being aware, standing up, and taking action. And you can't take action in a better way, fighting for you and your family's future and our collective liberties, than supporting the operation at thealexjonesstore.com. So you have 48 hours to buy one bottle of methylene blue, get one free, and the free ball cap right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Now again, ladies and gentlemen, we're winning some big battles here. We haven't won the war, and the globalists have been salivating over getting us off the air. They are so ridiculously foolish. We're not going to miss a beat. We're going to be on all the same radio stations, all the same systems. It's going to blow up in their face bigger than ever. The only missing equation is you continuing to spread the word when we make this move and supporting us at our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com, while getting products that enrich you and your family's lives. The only way you fail is not taking action. And don't forget what Thomas Jefferson said during the Revolutionary War. The only thing that evil men and tyrants need to flourish is that good men do nothing. You're the good men and women. Take action now. Support the tip of the spear, thealexjonesstore.com, and I salute you from the bottom of my heart, and thank you for keeping me and my crew in the fight!